Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, let me turn down my radio. Cool echo, though.
Echo.
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 Echo! Well, not bad. Oh, I'm sorry that I came on right after your depressed woman was on, your caller. Why was she crying?
She hasn't been able to find someone who's willing to admit that they agree with her, that this war is a ghastly disaster and a put-up job. At the moment, her feels very alone and isolated, and she's trying to overcome her alienation. So,
I initially thought that I thought maybe she was depressed because she couldn't guess the secret sound on the Don and Mike Show, when in fact it was probably her douchebag hitting the floor.
No, actually, what she heard was you, douchebag. What a brilliant guy.
The Don and Mike Show.
Have all you guys come over to play poker on Saturday, which we'll be, talk about. And we've got... Oh, and Buzz, I hope you're ready.
Yeah, I think I am, actually.
Just hope you're ready for the spotlight to be on you.
Well, I thought there might even be more than one spotlight today.
You think so?
Well, I thought there might be.
What?
Well, now that confuses me.
Well, perhaps I brought my own spotlight then.
No. Now...
All right, next, then I'll ask the question. Next to you,
uh-huh.
Who would you shine that spotlight on?
Well, your departure, I thought, stole the show, and some of the things surrounding that, but there were other things. Let me wait. You know, I'd rather
all
not...
All right, good. Yeah, well,
I'd rather not play those cards until I need them.
I see what Buzz is saying.
Uh-huh.
Buzz could easily be the topic of friendly ridicule.
Yes.
Right?
He certainly knows that that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Or Mike could be the subject of friendly ridicule.
Yes.
Both will be.
No, wait a minute. No, stop right there.
Yeah.
How could I be the subject of friendly ridicule?
Well, not
I
ridicule.
Understand. I know. Not
I
ridicule.
Would, I wouldn't say.
Well, with you, I... Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lovely day.
It was.
Thank you for your hospitality.
Yes.
You're very welcome.
It was kind of nice to... It's been a while since we've all gotten together off campus. It was very nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Too long, really.
Do you want to get... I mean, it's hard. We're all kind of chomping, aren't we, to get to it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'll save the rest. Because I did want to tell you about some weekend stuff.
Right.
But let's just get to the poker game.
Okay.
Because this is...
Sounds like we need to clear some things up.
Well, from my standpoint, no. I enjoyed myself.
Uh-huh.
Had you guys over,
mm-hmm.
And I hate to sound like a faggot, but ain't my house clean?
It's immaculate.
Lovely.
Ain't it clean?
It really is.
And
it is immaculate.
You should have seen me like I was on Brokeback Mountain on Saturday morning,
mm-hmm.
making sure that everything in its place and every place has its little thing, mm-hmm. and that there was plates and that the lights were correct.
You know, the dog barriers were all up in the right spot. It was
a perfect host.
It was really, spick and span.
And all of that, incidentally, all of that beauty was erased 15 minutes after you guys left.
Oh, really?
Did you happen to go through the thunderstorm?
Yes.
Oh, yes, very much so, yeah.
My dog, Colonel Coyne, the German Shepherd...
Doesn't like storms.
...left me just at an incredible indoor dog-made, I don't want to say man-made, but dog-made pond.
Oh, the worst.
Really, he as good as he was when you guys were over, he went out of his mind.
I can see where he's a sensitive dog. He's a very smart dog, and he's a very communicative dog. So I can see where he'd get a little wigged out.
It wasn't clean.
When you guys left on Saturday night, the temperature was like 65 degrees, and all of a sudden, it was like thundering and lightning, and right. Of course it was unpredicted by any of the tools on weather.
When it opened up, it was the kind of rain where even if you're going on a 25-mile-an-hour road, mm-hmm. you have to almost stop because you just can't see.
Do you remember the joke that I made when I left and I said I'm gonna hit a deer?
Uh-huh.
I didn't hit a deer. I almost hit a Chinese lady. Do you know that when you're coming down Hunter Mill Road past the access road?
Where
all the Chinese people live. And they've got a light that says, you see
by
two
Chinatown?
Signs, you see two signs that say access road, access road. Mm-hmm. And then there's a light with a right turn arrow.
That's very confusing because people think that they're going to make a right-hand turn there to go to the Dulles Airport, and the road doesn't lead there.
And what I did was I just thought that road was incidental. And I was focused on what I believe was the ramp to the access road, and it was the ramp. But I ran basically right through that light. And I was at fault. And the lady pulled out from that other road. It's so confusing.
You didn't see the rickshaw?
I didn't see it. But she stopped, and I stopped. And then it was just a moment where she was looking at me going, and it was raining, and it was just a pain.
Yeah.
Looked like that lady on Mad TV.
Is that Bobby Lee?
She was. But, I mean, that is one of the most confusing turns I've ever encountered, because you don't know. You know, I should have known that road was there, and it was just insane. It was crazy.
It rained. You left earlier than everybody else did.
A little.
I did. Yeah, you. You know, you did.
Well, I was out. I was done. Uh-huh. I was done gambling for the day.
Tapped out.
I was completely tapped out.
Tapped out.
Okay. Did Rob calculate how much everybody won and lost?
Here's what we're going to do right now. This is the easiest way to handle this. Go around the room. Have everybody please be as honest as you can to the best of your recollection.
Right.
Okay, we'll start with me. I lost $20. Lost 20.
Okay.
That I'm positive of. Mm-hmm. Because I got 80 out, I cashed in three times, and one time I was up so much I even cashed some chips for Joe, so he wouldn't have to go to the bank.
I lost
$20. Mm-hmm.
I thought when I left I had won $107, but I did my laundry and I found $40 more, so I'm plus $147.
Buzz.
I lost $66.
Mike.
I think I lost about $80. Or $85. Does that sound right to you, Rob?
Looking about right.
Yeah.
And John.
This is John.
John, how much did you win or lose?
I won 75.
Mm-hmm.
Joe.
I lost like 42.
Okay. All right, do the math there, Robbie. Do the math. Let's see how much of this works out. Joe, I would have bet that you were a winner.
No, I was up, and then it just all fell apart.
What do you got there, Brains?
You know what? That $40 I found in my pocket was not winnings. Because then I did win 107, and if John won 75, everyone else's losses add up to that. Roughly, within a few bucks.
So that tells me that I lost the most money of anyone. Even when I was the blackjack dealer.
That's where I killed you.
And that is what pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately.
No, hold on. Guys, we'll call you back in a second.
Okay.
No, what legitimately pissed you off at first was Buzz.
Well, you know, yes, because I thought...
Really?
That I thought. I thought that after the last few times we played poker, that he would have brought more knowledge to the game.
No.
And, you know, I don't know from a percentage standpoint.
Hold on. Were you answering it?
Yeah, just matter-of-factly, no. As a matter of fact,
no,
I did
there,
not
there
bring
is
more
so,
knowledge to the
I
game.
Mean, you know, and it's fun. We do it for fun.
Right.
So it's not like it's a homework assignment.
Right.
But, Jesus Christ, it was killing me. Because he was winning. And he didn't know how to bet, and he was winning.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of hands. Buzz, who ended up losing all of his money, there were quite a few hands where Buzz was up in front.
I had two winning hands. One of them I stupidly and mistakenly put down on the table and showed my cards before it was time to, because I don't know how to play.
Okay, now here's... let me just play the role.
Didn't somebody give you a book or something?
I don't. You know, I think I threw all that stuff out recently.
Didn't you say you practiced?
Thinking I practiced an online game this past week of of Texas Hold'em.
Now that's
but
the game we were
there were still aspects of that that I didn't figure out and could never really get a straight answer
your
from
shuffling
anybody.
Is, your shuffling and dealing was improved.
Yes.
Your play had regressed.
Your math skills are horrendous. Now,
yes.
Rob, what game were we playing? Because I can set this up perfectly. Mm-hmm. As a neutral observer of both Mike and Buzz, uh-huh. mm-hmm. what was the game?
I think the game you're talking about is five card draw.
Five card draw.
So everybody had gotten their cards.
Right.
Correct?
True.
And at that point, you're waiting to bet.
Right.
And what happens is, Buzz has a fantastic hand. He does straight, like an ace high straight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the rotation, if it was that it was Buzz's turn to either check or bet right. or up the ante.
Right.
We had, it's very simple. It was as simple as it gets. We had a game where the maximum wager was $5.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anybody who plays cards knows that you can not bet, which is check,
uh-huh.
you can fold, or you can raise up to $5.
So
it's that easy. It didn't need to be checked every single time we came to you.
Okay, but after Buzz kept checking and checking,
yes.
the one time we were going around, like it goes to Mike, and Mike says check.
Yeah,
goes
check or I'm out, which yeah. I said an awful lot.
Joe would say, I'm in, mm-hmm. put in a dollar. I said, I'm in. Buzz said, here. And laid all of his cards down on the table. Now, you had a nice straight.
Yeah. A beautiful straight.
At that point, you looked very pleased with yourself. I looked
yeah.
to my right, and I saw Mike, and I saw his face get red, and here's exactly what Mike said. This is until Mike's been in Las Vegas uh-huh. gambling. Mike says, everybody turn your effing cards in. I hit the button. I hit it.
Yeah.
I hit the button myself. Mike says, this effing game
mm-hmm.
has been tainted.
Right.
Everybody.
We should have.
I'm sorry, I dropped the F-bomb because mm-hmm. what Mike, I mean, it's just,
right.
you were so mad, mm-hmm. so like professional.
How do you think I felt throwing away that hand?
Well, I wasn't mad because he was going to win. I mean, I was mad because I wanted to win because Rob was at that point heated up, but I wanted somebody to take Rob down because Rob had most of the chips at that point, and so Buzz had a winning hand, but it was just, you know, by showing his cards,
mm-hmm.
right,
the game was over at that point.
I got so mad, I was like, everybody, put your cards in. This entire effing hand is tainted. And that's the first time, and let me quote you, you look him right down, you said, nice going, Buzz.
You could feel the love in the room at that point.
Well, Rob was... The other thing about the game that I didn't mention is that there should be, like, fillets of me frozen in Rob's freezer. Because
yeah.
I was Rob's fish all day long. I
yeah.
swear to God. And Rob had... You had all the cards.
Yeah, I'm a good card player. There's a lot of things I stuck at.
Amazingly lucky.
But a lot of cards came my way.
He tells you his skill.
Yeah, mad skill.
So,
mm-hmm. so he knows how to... Rob, more
he
than
does.
Anybody else at that table, and I don't know whether you guys were aware of this,
sure.
but I tell you, Rob is a guy that could go out and play with some big guys. He knows you never know what his cards
so
are.
So here's...
You never know.
Here's the group of guys we have. Everybody from the show. It's me and Mike,
that's
Buzz.
That's from my theater training.
Me and Mike. And,
theater arts.
And Buzz and Rob and John
right.
and Joe. So we play poker for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
We eat. We're all drinking, having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
We switch to blackjack. Now, this is great because Frieda got me the thing that goes on top of the poker table
right.
to make it into a blackjack
We're
table.
Not a lot of poker players, so we all probably looked at that as a chance to, you know, shake things up, play an easier game, and have a little more fun.
We got
and
to shoot for the cards.
Just like Vegas. I mean, it is really cool. It's a semicircle, and you have the dealer's shoe that holds two or three decks.
It's fun.
Fun.
So Mike is the dealer because he's going to be the house chance to earn back some money. Now,
so I thought...
Well, the odds were very much in my favor from that
yep.
standpoint.
Here's where... The spotlight would again fall on Buzz.
All right.
All right, he says.
Well, I think, Buzz, if you get it from me, you're probably going to get it with less venom
I understand. No,
than you would from your peers.
As long as I can respond, you know, give me everything
okay.
you got.
For instance, Mike's dealing
uh-huh.
and says, 10 to Rob, 8 to Buzz, boom, 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 comes back, says to Rob, a 10, of course. Rob with 19.
Uh-huh. Rob had probably like 8 19s in a row.
Mike's got the commentary going.
Right.
Like, I've got a $5 bet out there, and I get a face
card. Did I do a good job as the dealer?
Yes.
Good.
Mike would say to me, And, of course, like, oh, there's a face card. Big winner. You know, like, you would get mad when other people would win.
Right, right.
Now, here's the thing where Buzz would have a problem. There would be a 9 and a 3. I know you're not this stupid, but this is the perception.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's had the... You were the second guy to have his hand dealt.
Right.
So five other guys mm-hmm. are looking at their cards mm-hmm. and deciding whether they're going to take a hit or not. The look on your face indicates you're still trying to count to get to 12. And at one point, you actually said, how many do I need to have?
No, I asked how many points is a face card, because I, again, do not know the rules.
Okay.
I do not play the game. I do not know the game. Points? And you guys knew that going in.
How many points
is a face card?
Exactly.
That's the one. Thank you, Buzz, for being honest as a game that to our thing.
Here's another one.
I can, you know, I mean, I have certain skills and abilities myself. This is not one of them.
Now, here's one where Buzz could have had egg on his face. It worked out for him. Going around, Rob.
How many points is a face card?
Yeah, well, duh, if you've never played the game, if you don't play
how
the game.
How can you be an American and be raised in this country Buzz, and not
because,
know that a face card is 10?
Because
I did that when I was
because,
5 years old.
Well, why? Good for you, because I didn't. I never played the game. I still don't play the game.
Not the game. Just cards.
It doesn't matter.
Cards.
I don't play cards.
We played together in Vegas, Buzz.
No, I disagree. I mean, I was
never
there.
Never with
sat at a table before.
Never with face cards.
Oh, that
you
was the no-face-card blackjack table.
Now, listen, hold on. Here's the thing about
I played at somebody else's urging in that situation, and no. I got lucky because it was not called upon to know stuff.
Mike's dealing, and Buzz gets a 10 of clubs.
Right.
And then his second card, also face up, is like the 8 of spades.
Right.
So Buzz has got 18. Mike doesn't even give it a second thought. Like, okay, you're gonna stay on that. He
right.
moves the show. Buzz stops and says, hit me.
I don't recall that happening.
Well, no, you went back. You said
I got hit too quickly. I had hit. I asked for a hit once on 17, which I know is risky, but I felt lucky at that moment. I was wrong.
No, you got a hit on 18. I mean, you took a hit on 18.
I don't recall that.
Well,
maybe.
Okay, like I said, I'm trying to be
right.
partial. Maybe
well,
I'm wrong.
The long and short of it is that...
What is the hand that he took a hit on that nobody...
It wasn't that he took the hit on it. It's that he was thinking about it. For a long time.
It wasn't
Mike,
that long.
Thank you.
Don't think about
that's
it.
Just get,
when you're me in that situation...
Hold on.
There's no way you can win. You either take the time to think it through, you ask somebody, which
hold
annoys
on.
Somebody. So every possible thing I could do
on,
was going to annoy somebody to some degree.
Let's say the number was 17, not 18.
All right.
And
no, but he didn't take a hit, but he thought about it.
Yeah.
That's the thing that was
disappointing.
And because I play a lot of blackjack and I played a lot of cards, it's
right.
like there's certain hands where you know you get if you're 18 and above,
right?
You just
right.
It's kind of automatic, and I think that's where my frustration was. That's what happened. He didn't take the hit on 18. He didn't. What he did was he thought about taking the hit on 18, drove me nuts more.
What about the time when? There was. He had some ridiculously high, I want to say either 18 or 19, and he said, hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking at you, Mike, like, Buzz is retarded. And you laid down something like a 2. And then Buzz said something like, I had a feeling.
Well,
don't you remember that hand?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah. Well, we, you know what? The bottom line is, I was the dealer. And I was in a very advantageous position because I thought, hey, this is a way to get some of my money back. And like in the great tradition of my luck all weekend, anything I touched turned to, well, what your dog left on the floor. Because that was my luck. And really, I just got housed. And the one thing when you're the dealer, you have to bankroll the whole game. And it happened very, very quickly. And it was about 7 p.m. And that's when I said, enough of this crap, and I muttered to myself and went away, and it was nuts. It drove me
insane.
We
all laughed heartily as you left saying, so long, effers.
I was not happy. And I really wasn't happy. I was angry all the way home, believe it or not.
Wow.
I was just, because I would have liked to win something.
Sure.
Even like a hand would have been nice.
I knew when you were mad, because when you left, and you left us all down there, and there was a pause, and we heard,
where's my coat?
Spoiling the end.
Yeah, I was so, yeah, and my coat was just like on the back of a chair.
You know, but you were happy when you threw your poker chips in the air.
Yes, I was. Yes. I did win one hand.
You won a hand.
I won one hand, right.
Do you want to know who else wants to win a hand?
I'm the beautiful lady from Chicago.
You can
get
ready to win a hand.
Sure.
Now, Buzz?
Yes.
In retort,
uh-huh.
To give the opposite side,
right.
The opposing view.
I'm not quite done with Buzz yet.
Let me just say this part, though. I love hanging out with you guys. I think this is a great idea, getting together. We always have a great time.
But you hate
playing
cards.
No question about it. I am not a card player.
But you hate it.
I don't like it. I don't have an aptitude for it.
You don't have any desire to teach yourself the game either.
I looked at it some time ago, but here's what happened. We stopped playing for a while, and I thought, I'll never need this again. So I burned my poker books.
I just think that it's, you know... I don't know. Maybe when Buzz comes to the poker games and, you know, we put on a movie for him.
I will serve drinks and empty ashtray.
All right. Would that be satisfactory?
That would be great.
Would you rather we play Parcheesi or Yahtzee or Chinese checkers?
He likes the camaraderie, likes hanging out, and he comes over and he hangs out.
Well, here's the thing. I was rooting for
you. I like that
today.
Idea.
Buzz, I was
he
rooting.
He still has to buy in, though.
I'll just pay you the $66 in advance.
I was rooting for you personally.
I know.
Professionally.
I know.
And here's why.
I know.
Sitting directly to my right,
uh-huh.
I had, like, the world's biggest kick-me sign, Joe Ardinger.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, God, I'm sitting next to Joe.
Uh-huh.
Joe, who's just pounding the Miller Lite like there's no tomorrow.
Attaboy.
There's no way that mm-hmm. Buzz is going to get the most criticism because I'm sitting next to Slow Joe.
Yeah, now Joe was invisible during the game. He played the game very well.
He knows how to play.
And he won a hand. He beat Rob. He took you down. Didn't he at one point, Rob? Or...
Yeah, he had a couple real sneaky wins.
Yeah, really? Good poker player.
Yep.
Very good poker player. But that's the solution, I think. When we all get together.
Not to have Buzz play?
Have him come over.
Have him serve us drinks?
He said, you're being serious, right?
I kind of, yeah. I mean, I enjoyed playing, but really, yeah. I mess things up. I make you guys angry. I feel pressured and watched.
Would you wear like a maitre d' suit?
Sure, absolutely. Tux, whatever. I have a tux, I wear a tux.
And that frees up one chair for someone else.
Okay, when we play at your house, you can invite Robert Mailman over.
Why do you naturally think of him? That's not what I'm talking about.
Who would you put in the chair?
Who'd you have in mind? Then?
Anyone with lots of money. I was thinking Travis might be an easy
guy. No, you were thinking Robert Mailman. You were thinking Robert Mailman.
Okay, maybe I was.
That's what you were thinking.
Well, I only had one thought as I was driving away, is I want a chance to redeem myself again. I really do. I want to play again. I want to play again.
You swore up and down you'd never do it again.
No, I'm playing again, goddammit. And I'm going to bet football again.
Okay, all right.
What an S weekend. Honest to God. What a crap weekend. I mean, just anything I looked at, really, anything that required any kind of luck was just, you know, I when I bet on the football game, I was filled with dread.
Why don't we save that for the next break?
Yeah.
Because that's a whole new experience, right? The online betting?
The online betting didn't work out, but then a bet found me.
Oh.
Hey. It was my I call it my Super Bowl morning miracle.
Oh, wow. Nice.
All right.
It didn't work out as well as I thought it would. Matt Hasseltard.
And you chew on this. From a personal standpoint, do you think it means anything that the same lady that came to see me before, mm-hmm. during a Steelers game, came over yesterday to watch the game with me,
mm-hmm.
to have some nice companionship, you know, and everything that goes along with. And I had a nice time with her. I let her bring her dog over.
Uh-huh.
Because she's like, I'll be there like from 3 o'clock till 10 o'clock.
Right.
Do you think that that was too much on my part?
No.
No.
You sure?
Just means the first time went well.
This is a person.
You sure?
I don't think in any way that is giving your... I know what you're saying.
One thing I did not say to her, and I realize that I made the mistake. No, well, not a mistake, but the first time that I actually saw her, even semi-socially, I like laid down the parameters and the rules about, you know... You're not my girlfriend. We're not going to be seen together. I don't take you to movies. I don't take you to dinner. I don't do anything. When she called me, she said,
involved did the dog get?
Oh, as always, Mike, a total participant.
Full participation.
He was a catcher and a pitcher.
Is your question by letting her bring the dog over, you think you're sending the wrong impression? Well, you're sending the wrong message?
She said to me, "Can I bring my dog over?" Mm-hmm. And I said, we both live in the country. Yes. Your dog can just hang out in the backyard with my dogs. It's great. Then you don't have to go home and worry about your dog crapping during the Super Bowl.
Eating and all that.
And then when she actually arrived with the dog, and it was a learning experience for my dogs. They were nervous having another dog in the house and having a girl in the house, even though she'd been there before.
Mm-hmm.
I bit my tongue and did not say to her, "I hope you realize that because I've let you bring your dog over, this in no way is any sign of any commitment from me whatsoever."
You said that?
No, I did not, and I'm happy I did not say that.
Yeah, you know, that would be cruel.
But that was what I was thinking.
And now you've said it on the radio, but is she going to hear this?
I don't know. She listens sometimes, sometimes she doesn't. So
50-50 chance.
You know. Besides,
she's got tremendously thick skin, I think, for listening to this. I think that's good.
I don't think she is listening. Well, I don't know. See, here's the thing.
The beauty of this.
Jack!
You don't care.
I mean, I care about her as much as I can care about someone at this point in my life.
Right.
But I'm not married.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, you're
out there. I'm getting it done.
I mean,
what the hell? Who cares?
No, I'm
saying the truth. I didn't say to her yesterday when she came over and I saw the dogs were going crazy. I didn't say, I hope you realize that this is not a sign of commitment.
Hmm. No, I think it's a friendly thing, a nice gesture for a nice gesture, if you know what I mean. You know, she comes over, brings the dog over.
No
fuss, no muss.
She's nice girl. Came and brought food.
That's a cool thing.
Brought food. Actually cried when the Steelers won. She's a big Steeler fan.
Oh, wow. Scared me for a second there. I thought you said you were going to say she cried when she left. Then you might have a problem.
I wish I could say.
They always do.
She cried during the lovemaking.
Tears of joy.
How about you?
Tears of pain, Mike. Tears of pain.
That's what it is.
I'm sorry. I'm a monster. I'm a monster from the waist down.
The monster.
I take off my pants and I look like Jerome Bettis.
The monster.
But I mean, only from the waist down. It's like I undo my pants and it's like, hey, there's Jerome Bettis.
Who wants to play with the bus?
Okay. Well, as long as we are all agreed that, okay.
Well, you know what? It's like anything. You kind of, it seems like you're taking it, you know, we're in the direction you need it to be right now. And what you know, you can't predict the future and you can't predict, what she's thinking.
Baby stepping. Although,
that's right.
I do find her to be rather incredible only in this regard that, like yesterday, when we're trying to get the dog settled down and we're watching the game. And at the same time, now, as I mentioned, the house has got, I've got pictures of Frida freaking everywhere in the house. She's got no problem with me just talking about how much Frida means to me still now today and how much I still love her and, you know, that Frida used to say this or Frida used to do this. And I caught myself saying to her, you know, you probably don't want to hear that all the time.
Right.
You know? And she said, no. I mean, she's totally cool with
it. It seems like, that it's probably good to have a relationship with somebody you can be really honest with. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
No matter how insignificant the relationship is. You know, if it's, you know, and I think that's good.
Looks like it's important that she knows it is insignificant. Mm-hmm. Really, it's totally insignificant. And it meant nothing. It meant nothing that you were able to bring your dog over.
Okay. I think it's going to be okay.
It's going to be fine. I'll tell you one thing.
You're
she
a little worried about that. I mean, did she ask or did you offer?
She asked.
Then no problem.
Right. Okay.
Then you know what you were doing? You were being polite is what you were doing.
I'll tell you one thing, and then we'll drop the topic of Miss X.
Okay.
One thing that I do like about her, she knows a face card is worth 10.
Yeah, that is still in my mind.
So important for a person.
That is for certain people.
That works.
There are people who buzz, believe it or not. There are people that make a living playing poker.
Well, I know. I'm aware of that. I'm not one of them.
Did I even tell you also that over the weekend, I know you got your betting stuff to get through. I'm blown away over the weekend when my kid calls me with a DJ's worst nightmare, a DJ father's worst nightmare. I wish for nothing but the best for my son.
Mm-hmm.
I love him more than life itself. The one thing that I don't wish for him is a career in radio.
Right.
And he's never shown any desire towards that.
Thank God.
Thank God. Well, this past Saturday night, he did his first college radio show.
Uh-oh. Whoa. That's the best.
I know.
Did he like it?
That's the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I want to call him and ask him about that as well. We might not have time today. I know. And that's, you know.
If he digs it.
I know. And listen. You know. The apple don't fall far from the tree. I mean, I was chatting with him briefly about.
Content? What he did.
About what he had done. And he was being too cool for school because he was with friends. He was like, Dad, I'll tell you later. I said, but Bart, listen, you've got to know more about radio than any of the schmucks running that college radio station, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so, Dad, but I'll tell you about it later. Just at some point, I'm going to have to call him and find out if this is just a passing fancy, a dalliance, or if, you know, God forbid, don't do what I did. Jesus Christ, don't get into this business.
I think that he's a very smart guy who can see through BS. But I think maybe one of the strategies would be if you really don't want him to pursue a career, to act as enthusiastic as you possibly can. But he already knows
He's hip to the I'm acting this way to get you act this way. And I think, besides, I think he's just doing it just to do it. He wants to see what it's like.
There's no moment as exciting as their first FCC fine.
Is there any part of you that kind of digs it, though?
No.
It's kind of cool?
No, I swear to God. I know everybody thinks their kids are great. Mm-hmm. I think Bart is so incredibly talented and so smart. He's so much better than doing this.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I understand.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to be a loser like me. And I use myself, not anybody else. But I mean,
no, I'm with you.
You know what I mean? We all feel the same way, do we?
I mean, there's not a day that goes by that I just don't say, you know, maybe I should have, if I just paid more attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, we are successful, but hey, you know, we're DJs.
Yeah.
It's radio, man.
I wish for him a better life.
Yeah, we all do. We all do. Godspeed.
I do. I mean, you know, he doesn't need to be hiding in a closet in Detroit while Big Jim Ryan and Bill Garcia watch him make love to a prostitute midget for $50. Right? He doesn't need those memories that I have.
I know.
He doesn't need to be locked out of the airtight entry center of a radio station for 4 hours by some jerk disc jockey named Larry Lujack.
Saying, call me Super Jock.
He doesn't need that.
No.
He doesn't need going to the K-Rock F-Truck, having sex with girls after he's done with his radio show when he's 16. Well, thank God he's not even 16. He's almost 21.
Right. See, but some of the stories you're telling were wonderful experiences.
Yes, they were.
Yes, but Mike, well, for goodness sakes, let me just throw in on the flip side. Ed Frieda was here for all of that. How about bankruptcy? In there.
Yes.
Say, have you ever lived through the thrill of having a car repossessed? I've had it done 3 times. And you
wish better for your son.
You know, the worst one is when you know they're coming for you.
Yeah, and you're trying to duck them.
Because they've called the radio station to tell you you haven't made your last 3 payments. And you go, really? I'm really going to be down there tomorrow morning. And then you know tonight when you hear that. Where are the keys to that Celica? Yeah.
The song that you parked 6 blocks away.
I been evicted.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, had, creditors running after me for years.
Slept on the floor with no furniture.
That's right. Ate Pop-Tarts. Banged all kinds of pigs in hotels.
Rode your bicycle to work.
Rode my bicycle to work. I don't wish that for Bart.
No.
I want him to, be a gynecologist.
Well, maybe this is just a lark. Maybe he's not serious about it.
I don't know. Well, we can talk about it with him.
You want my son the doctor. That's what you want. My son the doctor.
I spent 2 months in prison in Venezuela.
Oh, yeah.
When I was doing that internship thing.
Never got a stowed away on a merchant marine ship.
Listen, as long as you're being totally honest.
Bound for Liberia.
Listen, seriously, folks, if I would not have gotten into radio, I would not have herpes today.
That's true.
No, I don't wish that for my son.
Yes, 2 pills is a hassle.
You know, maybe, screw it. We'll call him tomorrow. We're running too late now, and I do want to hear about you betting on the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Betting online on the Seahawks.
I do a lot of the stuff in Atlantic City and Las Vegas. I have never gotten involved
on a serious level with the, you know, wagering on a game.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ever had to get to the rodeo, but you had this problem? I'm Franklin, born with a tooth. From Brockett Used Motors, and I'll let you in on just a little bit of a deal. If you come down here with a case of beer, I can give you a good deal on an old 65 Chevy Impala four-door. You can put both the mother and the father-in-law in there, and the six cousins, and as well their sisters, and don't forget Grandma too. You can even get five others in the trunk if you take out the spare tire. And on Wednesdays, you can drive into town and hang out around Galt Gardens. It doesn't have any hubcaps, and a window in the back is just plastic. But a good deal at only $4 to $8 if you bring the case of whiskey. Come on down today. Listen to one satisfied customer. Okay, we'll see what we got here. This son of a bitch car better start. I gotta get to the rodeo. Now she's running a little rough. And Whitey car needs a spark plug. Now this thing's a piece of shit. F*** it.
The Don and Mike Show. The best of Don and Mike.
We have to mention this first today. You may notice at some point the show appears to be operating on less than all eight cylinders. Now, we are losing a vital cog of the show in approximately 12 minutes.
I really wish you wouldn't talk about this.
I think
Don, they're going to be like wolves. They're going to be like sharks smelling blood.
We're already nervous.
Because people are going to notice the quality diminishing. You know, the nonstop gags, the funny button that's always on.
Now that you've pointed it out. You know, haven't you always told me, don't let them know your weaknesses? Haven't you always said, you know, fight the good fight, stay the good long battle?
Here's the thing, Mike, inside, I'm very bravado on the outside.
Right.
Inside, I'm afraid because
he's
my Mr. Miyagi.
I know. He's your Pat Morita.
That's right. Of course, I'm talking about the brains behind this show.
The guy that really it makes the whole thing work.
Joe Eidinger.
That's right.
Joe will be leaving us early today in about 12 minutes because he's going to take a limousine. The official limo of the Don and Mike Show is Northern Virginia Town Car and Limousine Service. Go to www.novalimos.net or 703-739-9770. Boy, after that read, he better get laid in that car tonight.
Hey, we finally got a limo company, though.
Yeah. Joe is taking a limo. Apparently, we did this contest before Christmas.
Is it a Hummer?
Well, Mike, who knows? If I read it again, it might be.
At these prices, yes.
Joe is going to Baltimore with one of our listeners to see the Stones in concert tonight.
The Rolling Stones, if you know anything about Joe Ardinger, and shame on you if you don't.
Joe
Ardinger is, it's the most important thing to him in the whole wide world, next to his lovely wife, Tracy.
And he is like a kid on Christmas morning. It's like he's opened up his surprise package, and it's 100 Tylenol number 3s with codeine.
Yeah, because we,
it's like,
I believe my comment to Joe was, are you excited about this? And he says, yeah, of course.
Like someone just gave him a month's supply of Vicodin. I mean,
right.
He's even more excited than if anybody had given him pharmaceuticals.
He's excited. We just have to assume he is because he's not showing it that much.
Well, he's wearing his spiked hair. Mm-hmm. He has his old school Stone shirt on.
He's got his black jeans.
We will be talking to him.
Which, in my opinion, never go out of style. No.
We'll be talking to him en route to Baltimore for the concert. And we've got him the microphone with that big, gigantic CBS News flag on it.
Right.
So we're going to be expecting all kinds of reports from Joe as he interviews his fellow Stones fans. And also, operating at a handicap, we have not written him the normal, hilarious, guaranteed belly laughs questions that we've written before.
I mean, it's a shame he can't get backstage.
Because I know that would be a dream come true.
Oh, God, yes.
Nothing would make me happier than to hear Joe try to interview Mick Jagger.
So it would tonight just be Joe out there. Uh-huh. I mean, because Joe can get drunk. He's not driving.
How right. far out there?
Way out there, Mike. Way out there, Joe. In his element, uh-huh. you know, with all of the other great unwashed, uh-huh. all of them smelling of B.O. and warm Miller Lite, waiting for Street Fighting Man one more time.
Just a hint of cannabis.
So Joe's on his way. Joe's on his way, or he will be shortly. So please note, please be noting, mm-hmm. that at some moment you're going to just notice, hey, like, is the reception bad on the radio, or mm-hmm. is the funny button off? Just know that the most vital link, the missing link in this case, will be Joe Hardinger when he leaves today.
If only he could be everywhere.
Very exciting that he's going to enjoy the Baltimore stop on the Steel Medicare tour.
Okay, so Joe, now I've made that announcement, we can move on.
All right.
I think we're still safe right now.
We'll be all right.
Let me just make sure he's here.
He's packing before I talk.
You got a gun?
Packing heat. I thought the word was holding.
Stone Show is here. Have a can of beer.
All right,
Joe.
Good. He's still here.
Oh, he's excited.
Whew, okay. Yeah.
All right, Oz.
I know you guys can notch it up.
Well, only with your direction, Oz.
Well, I'll have my cell phone with me, so.
All right, and don't forget, as always, Joe, keep the one-liners coming.
Certainly.
Okay.
I've got a list of them.
Okay. I just have one question. What the hell am I going to do if I can't think of anything to say with Joe in Baltimore?
Well, I had a meeting with Rob, and I gave him some ideas.
Okay. All right. It's not the same thing. It's not like you can run in here and whisper in my ear like you always do.
Mike.
Goodbye, you damn dummy.
Good day.
Goodbye. 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 Get us some good drunken tape tonight.
Enjoy yourself.
Duh. Tomorrow, we better hear you drunk and slurring and loving life.
Entertain
and
us.
And puking and all of your Stones friends.
I think he ought to be loaded before he gets to 95 North.
Well, he's got a town car. Mm-hmm. He's got a town car.
He could do that.
How much is a six-pack of Miller Lite? How much are two six-packs? How much is a 24-pack?
I think we could pop for that, yeah, right? Sure. I got a 20.
Okay. $10.
Do you think he can stop and... Hey, Joe, I'll give you a 20. 20 will buy you how much?
A case.
Yeah.
A case and a half.
Case and a half.
There you go. That's good.
You know, I haven't done anything nice for him. You do nice stuff for him all the time. Nor do you.
No. Nice. Not as much as you think. No, certainly more than you'll ever know, Mike.
Hello?
Joe, come on in here. I have a present for you.
Okay. Somebody told me a long time ago, Mike, but the definition of a hero is someone who does something... It wants really nothing for it. Mm-hmm. No one will know, yet you and your recipient.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hero.
Well, I'm being very unheroic.
So perhaps in your eyes, I have done nothing for Joe. Ah.
Enjoy yourself. Here's some beer money for you.
All right, we'll hook it up. I know that we'll probably take 66, and there's an Exxon station right there.
He knows where the beer is.
Look at him. He's happy. And look at that hair. Look at that hair.
Very stylish.
Extra spiky. Yeah.
For you don't know, it's our secret. When Joe needed that monkey liver, I arranged for his transportation, paid all the medical bills, and said, not a word. He said, you're my hero. I said, that's why it's a hero, Joe. We keep it quiet.
Quiet.
Joe, what's very worthwhile.
What's the best thing about a Stone Show? What's the moment for you? What's the, you know, everybody's got when they love something. We got a special moment.
Oh,
what's
the start of the show.
Okay, thank you.
And the introductions. Cheering for Bobby Keys and Ronnie Wood.
Cheering. How are you cheering?
And Daryl Jones, the bass player, the newest guy.
Oh, a new guy.
Even though he's been with him for 10 years, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Will you sing along?
Probably.
And now, the person you're going with, who is a winner on this show.
Yes.
Any idea? Do you remember? Is it a man? Is it a woman?
Guy.
Yeah.
It's a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Are there a lot of hot chicks that go to the Rolling Stones shows?
Yes, but they're getting on in years.
They're getting on in years, are they?
Lots of
we like to refer to them as the faded 80s ladies.
That's good. I like that.
All right. Well, listen. Keep the wit right where it's at.
Yeah.
Right. It seems to me right that
it's
right
amusing
now
me.
That you're at, you're operating on just 100%. Keep it right there.
All right.
Okay. Don't let us down, you big dummy.
I won't let you.
You go have fun.
Okay.
I will.
Enjoy.
All bye. Right.
Bye-bye. You will only be down to half day's pay. You're welcome.
You're killing me.
Very good.
There I go again, doing nice things for Joe that no one will know about.
Right. Well, now I'm glad I gave him the $20 bill. It's a push.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes. That's a good thing.
Doesn't lose at all.
Well, that's $6 a hit.
He'll have a good time.
Hey, Tracy, baby.
He better come in with a hangover tomorrow.
He will.
Oh,
it's his mission.
Yeah, most days he does. So I don't think tomorrow will be anything different. Oh, here he is again.
It's the only thing we've ever really had in common.
Joe, I did want to say that I will miss my wife quite a bit tonight.
Oh, okay.
No.
Nice save.
Good save.
Well, I'm married. I don't have to explain that to you.
Does she like the Stones as much as you do?
She went to the last show and she enjoyed it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but on the rare occasion that I would want to do something that didn't involve Frida, I wouldn't have to get on the air and say, well, maybe I would have. Yeah, but not after 25 years.
But I'm newly
Or maybe I would have. I don't know.
But I'm newly married. I mean, I've been married, what, 6 months or so?
Right.
I guess.
Not even 5 months.
Right. Well, you know, now that you've made that statement, a good chance for you and that male listener to, you know, put some fresh stink in that limo.
What are you trying to say?
You know,
I think you know exactly what I'm saying.
Strippers, you know.
Yeah.
That's right. You get some strippers and
some faded 80s ladies.
Some hookers.
Jaded, faded 80s ladies.
And go for the bigger the hair, the better. The kind of hair that'll press up against the top of the limo.
Right. Out of the moonroof.
Right.
All right, get out of here, please.
Okay.
Hey, Rob, I got to ask you a question.
Bigger hair than the hostess at the Orleans house.
Hey, big guy, this is kind of a behind-the-scenes question. I know you're doing something over there important on the computer, but I need the stuff over here just in case we go to commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. What's wrong with the computer today?
The remote where I normally do the commercials is not working, so I have to go to the other one.
I see.
Once I get it set up, it won't be much of a problem.
Listen, these new studios are going to be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. One of the what is the completion date? Do we have gotten the completion date?
17th of November.
Ah, very good.
Looking 17th of November, and it's going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, here's something I wanted to mention before I even tell you about this high school thing, which I don't know if I've told you about before.
No, I think you may have, but I don't remember. It was a long time ago if you did.
Mm-hmm. Joe mentioned, it's funny that he said that, you know, I once say that he loves his wife because he's going to this thing tonight who's just married. Today, I made a conscious decision. I'm not wearing my wedding ring today.
Ah.
And I feel oogie about it. It was a ring that Frida got me for our 20th anniversary.
Right.
Now, it would have been 25 years this August. But, you know, you reach a point when you got to say, you know, it had gotten to the point that when I would look at my hand didn't feel right if I didn't have my wedding ring on.
Right, right.
So I wore my wedding ring and I have worn it every day.
Right.
But what I've noticed recently is that now I look at it and it makes me sad.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like I think, well, I'm not really married. I mean, well, of course, I'm not married anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because Frida passed away. So, and it's not like I want to go out there and advertise it.
No, it's like not like you're going out to singles bars.
You can't, it's like I can't wait to go to the mall just to walk around and just put my big fat left hand on some counter and go,
here I am.
You know, please notice, you know, among the big fat fingers, no wedding ring.
Right.
You know, I don't. But I've just decided not to wear it. And I don't mean it out of disrespect to Frida. And I'm only bringing it up because I feel oogie about it. You know, and I know it's one of those things. I didn't even want people to call about it because everybody is different. It's just like with the sex thing that we discussed and with moving on. And I know that I've already thought ahead that the next thing is going to be the next step at some point is going to have to be arranging the house in some way that it is not just a shrine to Frida in every single room, which is kind of the way that I have it set up now.
Right.
I mean, you know, we had always had a lot of family pictures out and stuff like that. But since Frida died, I've made a point of, you know, move stuff around and like there's, and it's, that's kind of like what I was thinking today when I was leaving the house and thinking I'm feeling pretty good. And then it's like, I say, boom, I see the pictures. And it's like, then I see the ring and I go, oh God, I'm sad because that's the thing that she had made when she had her ass tattooed.
I remember.
For the thing. Now, who's on the hotline? Would you pick that up, please? So I'm right in the middle of something very important. And it certainly is not Frida. This is not like one of those times I'd be talking and it would ring and I'd know who it was. Who is it?
It's for John. It's Melissa from Jim Nance's office.
I
know.
If that woman, Nancy, go find out.
Okay.
Go find out. If she cancels today, I swear to God, that's it. We're breaking up with her.
That'll be a painful breakup.
With Jim Nancy.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a very painful breakup.
Not even mentioned.
that
I already feel like she doesn't love us anymore.
We're going to be attempting some type of schedule to hit a certain time in the show today when we've been told the very beautiful and very talented leading lady of sports television, mm-hmm. Jim Nantz, will be on the show today
right.
to talk about the Super Bowl.
She is very difficult to pin down.
Is it something we said? Is there another show?
I think it's her schedule. I think her schedule is all over the place. You know, when she was talking about walking the golf course last week, you know, then I watched the first CBS, I think it was the first CBS golf telecast of the year,
right.
and she was out at, I think it was Torrey Pines out in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here's Rob with the answer.
Simply a confirmation.
Ah!
All right, well, I'm so glad we didn't have to take those drastic measures.
Relief.
But she could still disappoint us.
Yeah, my money would be on the fact that she stands us up today. She's like that.
I hate her when she does that.
Hey, boy, we still have that disc of all those lady songs, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
So anyway, listen, about the ring. Yeah. I only mentioned it because, you know, first off, for me it's better than therapy.
Yeah,
better than having to drive to some dick's office and sit down and, like, you know, have coffee and spend a half hour just getting to the fact of saying, you know, should I wear my ring or not? And I know he would end up saying, it is a decision that only you can make.
Absolutely. And how can anybody possibly fault with your decision process there? You said it at the beginning. Makes me feel sad.
I don't know what the time frame.
I don't think
is on that, right. and
I think the kind of thing where you'll put a you know aside and then occasionally just take it out and maybe look at it.
I don't mean this in a sad way. I mean it's just the fact is I'm not married anymore.
Right.
You know I'm wearing a wedding ring, and again, not like I think that the chicks are going to be out there going, boy, get him up right now. Let's put the ring through his nose today. But you know, I'm not. I'm just not. I'm not going to be. So anyway. That's that.
Well, and you explained it with a sentence. I think, you know, I was curious, and then when you said that, I mean, if you look at it and something's, you know, making you feel bad and making you feel sad, that's tough. You gotta live it one day at a time.
See, because I would look at it and I would think, about how, you know, how things were with Rita and I, how great things were, and that it won't ever be like that again.
Mm-hmm, right.
And it's like at some point, When do I move on? You know, not to be cold, but, you know, when do I realize what has happened? I can't unring this bell.
Right.
You know, and I gotta move forward.
Right.
And I just feel creepy about not having it on.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
All.
Makes sense.
That's all. Now, let's talk about this high school thing.
Yeah. I'm not sure I've heard this.
No, I'm sure I've mentioned this, but I don't know if
this is when you went to Mexico, right, and faked your transcript?
I don't know if I have ever told the absolute 100% true story about this.
I think you've told variations of it.
Last night, I was talking to a longtime friend who shall remain nameless, okay? Mm-hmm. So, the guy sent me an email. We start chatting. I'm about to talk to the guy in... 30 years since 1976. Here was the deal. I got into radio, started working in radio full-time when I was 13. When, no lie, I would ride my bicycle to the radio station, Winks in Rockville.
Mm-hmm.
Started as a weekender, then got a weeknight shift. Then we moved out to Illinois, got a job at a station there. By the time that I was old enough to have my driver's permit, at 15, I was working full-time, right. And I had enough credits to graduate high school, because believe it or not, I was smart in high school, even though I'm an idiot on the radio, mm-hmm. And I don't remember anything that I learned in high school.
Right.
I had the unique ability, because see, the thing is, I knew I wanted to be a DJ, as dumb as it sounds, I knew I wanted to be a DJ since I was like 5 years old,
mm-hmm.
So I would waste time in class, I would just cram all this stuff, learn it, out in one, out the other,
right.
The whole time thinking about how can I get into radio. Mm-hmm. And I'm working in radio already when I'm in like ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a part-time job. And anyway, by the time I'm 15 and I can get my learner's permit, I get offered a job out of town in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And I go to my parents, awful move by them, by these two creeps that adopted me. You know, I would never allow this to happen with my kid. You know, 15, I don't care how talented you are, if you think you got the world by the tail. When your kid is 15 and a half, which is when I was able to move out, because at that point,
back with the way that the rules were, at 15 and a half, you could drive during daylight hours.
Right.
You know, unless you were going to a job. So, or if you're going to a job, you could even drive longer. You could drive at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I got offered this job. And because I'd been working at a station in Illinois and sending out tapes, trying to climb up the ladder, even though I was at that time just going into my junior year of high school. So I go home one day and say, hey, I got offered a job, and it's like $85 a week, and it's in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And instead of just saying to me, shut up and work at the little station that you're working at right now and just finish high school and then see what happens, my father, the greatest motivator of my life, really, said to me, sure, go ahead. You know, you fall on your ass. Just know you can't come back. I mean, once you leave, you leave. When are you leaving?
Wow.
And I said, well, you know, how's right now?
You mean he said he got angry?
Yeah.
Well, said if you do that, you're never coming back.
Said it was dumb.
Right. His whole thing was radio, radio, radio. You know, there's more to life than radio. Mm-hmm. You know, all that crap about, you're such a smart boy, but you don't make smart decisions. And like, you don't, just because I didn't want a Joe job, and right. Although, you know, I worked at Burger Chef and, you know, or did the magic shop.
Right.
Al's,
right?
Yeah, Al's magic shop.
Al was an inspiration to
you. On Connecticut Avenue. You never touched me like Harv Moore did.
But then no one did.
Anyway, here's the point. That these creepy parents of mine, they let me go.
Yeah.
Fortunately, you know, you decide 31 years later if I turned out okay or not. But here I am. So the deal is I had to go to my high school. I had to go to a high school that I had been attending, and I went there and I said, hi, listen, here's the deal. I've already got enough credits to graduate, because I had taken advanced classes. Said, I've got enough credits to graduate with a minimum. What I would like is your permission to just kind of skate out of here. You let me go, and I'll see you. And the principal said, fantastic, and signed some paper.
Wow.
And so now I'm on my own.
Dynamite, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
How about drums? An instrument everybody loves. We have beautiful drums instruments right in the product case. Listen to this. Bass drums, snare drums, crash cymbal, hi-hat when it is closed, and when it is open, a crash cymbal, and small drum called tom-tom. Now, let's learn how to play a rock and roll rhythm. Rock and roll is very simple, just four counts, and on every count, play the hi-hat. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. And on the first beat and the third beat, play the bass drum. One, two, three. One, two, three. And on the second and fourth, play the snare drum. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. This is rock and roll.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
So now I'm on my own. Now, let's fast forward to 1970. Or hold on. Here's my timeline. This was in 74. How old? I was born in 58. And my high school class graduated in 76. So I moved out. I don't know. Anyway, I'm 18 now.
Right.
I'm 18, right. And now I'm working in Appleton, Wisconsin.
I'd be in 76.
Correct. My high school class is going to graduate. I pick up the phone from the radio station I'm working at in Appleton, Wisconsin. I've made about three or four moves since I've left high school to these other small stations, work my way up the ladder. I call and I say, hey, it's me. You know, I'm going to come home for the weekend of this thing and get my diploma. And they say to me, that's great. Hold on one second.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lady says to me, all we need is the transcript from the school that you've been going to. And I said, because I right away didn't say, you know, I haven't been going to school. I said, Exactly. You know, I don't remember the parameters. She said, well, if you look, and she had the paperwork right there. And remember, this is 76. This is before fax machines, anything at all like this.
Right.
She's just looking at this reading. And apparently the thing that I've signed that I threw away a year and a half earlier right. said that what I would do at the very least was go to these schools in whatever town I lived in. I would go to the high school and say, hi, it's me. Is there any class I can take or anything? It was like,
You would continue your education. Yeah, check in with them, right?
Even though I technically...
Somehow the part that you forgot that you told the principal was probably something along the lines of, I will continue, you know, because when you said that at the beginning, I was listening to it like a parent would listen to, or the principal.
Yes.
The principal probably said something, you probably said to him, I'm going to go continue my education.
Well, no, I firmly remember this, and this is the truth. I remember... I don't know how the scale worked, but this was in Illinois that you needed 26 credits to graduate.
Okay.
By the time I started my junior year, I had 29.
Okay.
So, because I had taken summer classes and all this other stuff. So I went in and I said, you know, I'm already at the finish line.
Right.
And they said to me, fine. Now, what they did say, and I'm sure I don't remember it, but they must have said something like, we can't just let you go.
Right.
That wherever you go, get into a school system and at least make an effort to go to a class once in a while. You know. So anyway, I'm flipping out. I'm calling from the radio station one night before my show.
In your mind, you think it had already been done, that you were just going to go back and they were going to hand you a diploma.
Now, thank God I made this courtesy call. You know, that I'm thinking ahead. Mm-hmm. I want to make, you know, I just thought... It's been a year and a half. I better make sure that I'm still on the list, right?
Right.
So it was, I was working 6 to 10 at night. So I'd go into the radio station, use the long distance lines for free.
Sure.
Call the school in Illinois before the end of the school day, like before 5 o'clock at the end of the work day. Talk to the woman and she says, yes, all we need is a transcript. And I said, ooh, transcript. You know, I've made, since I left, I've lived in Milwaukee, and then Appleton, and then Rockford. And she said, well, just from whatever the school is that you were at most recently.
Uh-huh.
She said, if you'll just give me their name. I said, you know what, nah, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll handle it. I'll get it. I'll bring it. I'll see you. Okay, yeah. Bye-bye. Now. This is where this radio friend of mine reminds me when we're talking.
All right.
This is just such an asinine thing. I don't even know why I'm telling you this today, because this is just going to make me look like even more of a loser than many of you already think that I am.
I don't know. You had your 29 credits.
Yeah, but really, well, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
How incredibly ballsy, how incredibly stupid of me. I get on the air. Now what happens is I've hung up the phone, and I'm now talking to the guy that I was talking to last night.
Right.
The guy who was on the air before me.
Okay.
And I said to him, I walked in the studio and I said, like, I'm so effed, you know, I don't have a transcript. I ain't been to a high school.
Right.
And it's funny, Mike, you mentioned, like, about the high schools and sending the most cards for the raspberries and stuff.
Right.
I did the nighttime show, which meant, of course, I was, you know, like, doing the constant high school battle of the bands, all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, got on the air and I said something like, and it was partially based in truth. I had taken a job.
Uh-huh.
I had taken a job to work at Fun Love in Milwaukee, WOKY in Milwaukee, where I was going to be doing 3 to 6 p.m.
Right.
Now, what a great shift, a three-hour shift on Milwaukee in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So I had quit this job in Appleton, and I am at a station I went back to, incidentally, when I got fired in Milwaukee. But I quit, and they're letting me work out 2 weeks. Because at that point, I'm not as big a dick as I am today. I'm just a young kid. And I don't know how this came to me. But I just, on the air one night, in between records, said, incidentally, I don't know if you know this or not, I'm going to be leaving soon. I got a job in Milwaukee. And I always like a remembrance of the cities that I've worked in. And if there's anybody out there, I mean, if you've got anything that would have, like, a piece of stationery from the local high school, maybe I threw out 3 or 4 things.
Uh-huh.
And it really, the whole time, looking for some idiot that would actually bring me a piece of stationery from the high school. I swear on Frida's grave this is true. I swear to God this is true. I'm answering the telephone like a madman
sure.
after I say this.
Sure.
Right? Like every line I'm picking up, like, you know, you're going,
Yeah, Blue 128. Hello. Yeah.
That was Blue 128.
Yeah, it's like, you know. Yeah, how would you like a copy of the Sisters of the American Revolution? No, thank you. You know, it's like, yeah, Blue 128. Hello. Finally, the guy says, whatever the school is. You know, I've got some. I'm a teacher at whatever this high school is.
Oh.
I say to him, fantastic. Can you drop it off at the station tonight? Guy says, sure. I said, come on down. I'll give you a tour. I'll give you a couple of albums. So the guy comes down.
Give me some blank stationery for my forgery.
The guy comes down, and he gives me three pieces of stationery.
Wonderful.
And I have to stand there in the lobby and bold-faced lie to the guy and say, I want to tell you something, that, you know, this community has meant so much to me. And I've moved so much from job to job,
right,
that I like to just get a little piece of everywhere that I've been, like for my scrapbook. And I can't.
What a bad lie.
And I can't thank you enough. And you know, here's the latest album by Steve Miller. And, you know, hey, it's nice. I got to get back in and play a record. You know, anything I can play for you? Okay, I got it. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Now I've got the paper.
Got the goods.
Now, I have three pieces of stationery. What works in my side of this is that at the radio station, there's an IBM Selectric typewriter. Mm-hmm. Now, back in the day, anybody that remembers back then,
right,
these typewriters kicked ass.
They were great.
It was like
just the one that had the whiteout key on it?
Yeah. I mean, big ass green thing. You turn that on, you got that reassuring hum, and man, you type a letter on that thing, and you might as well have been writing with a presidential seal, with a quill. You know what I mean?
Had a real official look to it.
Schools used them.
So, what I do is, I don't even make a rough draft.
Did you take the time to find out who the principal might be at that school?
Had all the information.
You had the info, so you got
now,
the info.
Here's where school, and I remember this, pays off for me. I know exactly how to, because I took typing in school. That's one of the extra classes I took to get credits to graduate.
Right.
I know how to space. I know how to put the address in the upper left-hand corner.
The proper form.
In the upper right, you know, year so-and-so.
Right.
I know how many indentations to make on the paragraph. I know how to form sentences. So what I do is, in 10 minutes, when I'm done on the air, I write a letter that says, Dear Mr. Blutarski, for the last 7 weeks, we've had the pleasure of having Mike in our school. He's truly a joy to be around. His pat, whatever I write, you know, he enjoys English. We enjoy listening to him on the radio. The kids enjoy talking about his experiences. He's been a pleasure. And then I signed it, you know, very sincerely yours,
right,
with the guy's name. And then I signed it.
Uh-huh.
And I got an envelope, just a plain envelope,
right,
and then went back home. Now, I'm coming back as Mr. Swingin' Dick.
Sure, big city DJ.
Right? I mean, I'm pulling up in my black Trans Am, my Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am. All my loser friends who are just getting out of school now. You know, I mean, I'm pulling up Mr.
Right.
Big Shot, got the job in Milwaukee.
Got a few dollars in your pocket.
Meanwhile, nobody knows that I've got just a brown stain. Go into the principal's office and give him this bogus letter.
Right.
I swear to God, I did it as the coolest cucumber you ever would have known. It was like something out of the movie The Sting.
Right.
I walk in. I sit down. I'm intimidated as hell.
Sure.
I don't think I'm even 18 yet at this point. No, I'm not. Because my birthday is in September and graduation was in June.
Right.
So he stands up and he goes, hey, it's good to see you again. And we shake hands and he says, you're all set on this end. All I need is the transcript. And I said, well, because I moved so much, they don't really have a transcript, but I do have a letter from the principal of the previous school. And I hand it over and I give it to him. And very deliberately, he gets it and he reads it and he goes, oh, this appears to be in order. All right, well, we look forward to seeing you on Saturday. And just know how proud we all are of you.
Wow.
The fact that you know, you took the initiative. And yeah. Meanwhile, the whole time inside, my heart is going like,
sure.
And I spoke last night with the guy who helped me write the letter.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Very good. And it was a triumph. And then you got your diploma.
Yes, I did.
Got to march with everybody
else. I got my diploma, which is
technically worthless.
I mean, technically.
Well, it's always been worthless.
Technically, it's, you know, got the stamp on it, right? You know, did you get the gown and everything?
Yeah.
Did the whole routine?
Yeah, no, I rarely did anything in high school that was notable.
Then did your mom and dad come to graduation?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I mean, because they had said, you know, if you leave, stay out or something.
No, well, they came because they wanted, you know, at least to get the shot of that. But,
right.
You know, it was a thing when I really seriously drove in on the Friday night before. Graduation was on Saturday about noon.
Uh-huh.
I drove in on Friday afternoon, gave the principal the letter, saw some friends, saw my parents, graduated, and then drove back and did the Saturday night show on the radio station.
And it's not like you were going on to college, so it's like you really didn't need your transcripts.
You know what you can do now is forge an invitation and go to the 30th reunion.
Anyway, I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and he mentioned that. He said, you know, I was thinking about you the other day. Remember that letter? Like, wow, do I remember the letter?
So did the principal at any time give you pause? Did you think that maybe he took it hook, line, and sinker?
I mean, baby.
Simpler time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much simpler time today.
But
still, never. Even in that time, because I graduated right around the same time, I would imagine that took an awful lot of balls to do that.
Yeah, sure. But also, on the other hand, if they called me on it, the worst that's going to happen is I'm going to have to go back to my U-Haul, and, you know, I was going to be moving to Milwaukee anyway, so it was like, what the frig? But this was mainly kind of like an F-U back at my parents. Mm-hmm. You know,
to show them you can do that.
And also because I wanted a high school diploma,
right,
which I've now just told you is worthless.
Do you still have it?
Yeah, I'm sure it's packed somewhere. Yeah, I'm sure I got it somewhere downstairs. Big fake document.
Wow.
Just frame it. Bring it in.
Wow. How does that make you feel?
More coffee?
Serious question. How does that make you feel? Do you feel good to get that off your chest? I feel like you're purging something you've never purged on the air.
Well, here's the thing. If I had, if I would have remembered it, I would have told it. Mm-hmm. Whenever. I think I did before. I mean, I'm not proud of the stuff I did, but I'm proud of the way that I ended up, so I don't give a frig.
Well, it's good you talked about it, and your 50 minutes are up.
The guy, but I got one more real fast one for you.
Okay.
The guy told me that I forgot about, that I did for him.
Our 4 o'clock's late, so go
ahead. Which was just brilliance on my part. Really, I should have been like a master forgerer.
You mean like the guy in Catch Me If You Can?
Yeah. I mean, really.
And he was about the same age when you were doing all that stuff.
So, you know, when you first got into radio, I mean, or
when was the time that you got on the Pan Am flight as a pilot?
There was a time in radio when you really had to have a license.
Right.
And you would have to drive to an FCC office somewhere, and you would seriously have to take an exam.
Some people had to take that exam in Harlem.
Yeah, and some people had to take it in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Some in Kansas City.
And here's the thing that's a bitch. If you failed, you couldn't take it for 3 more months.
And right. You couldn't work on the radio.
You could not work. So, after I failed it the first time, I got through. Now, this guy that I was speaking with reminded me, you know, there's got to be a statute of limitations on this stuff anyway. This is not really vital stuff.
No.
But here's all that they would do. You would have your regular FCC third-class license ticket,
as it was called. Yeah.
A third-class endorsed license meant that you had taken the test.
Right.
And all they did was take your license and stamp something on it. Then you would, because you would physically, like in the case of these guys that I was working with, and when I did it, you would get in your car, you would drive to Chicago. If you passed, they would stamp your FCC license, and you'd take it back to your radio station.
Right. And you had to put it on the wall. Had to put it on the wall in the transmitter room. Required.
So, this guy had not passed. And he was older than me. He'd been in radio longer than me. He was kind of flipped out. They're getting on his ass about
sure.
it. Said, like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do.
He's a little math challenged, was he?
There was a place, yeah, because you did have to do, like, a lot of calibration and stuff like that.
I hated it. Useless.
There was a place, I am not kidding, maybe anybody that's ever been in Appleton, Oshkosh, Needham, Menasha, Wisconsin would know. There was a place that was called the Stamp Hut. Now, they would make you stamps, not like postage stamps, but like rubber stamps, you know, where you could put your name and your address or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I say to the guy,
because I've already done this thing in high school, you know, with him. I've already done this caper with him.
Right.
I said, leave it to me. I'll handle it. What I did was I went to the rubber stamp shack, mm-hmm. which is like an outdoor, like, you know that little car?
Tom Hanks was waiting for you outside.
Like a photo hut?
Yeah, like a photo hut. Thank you, Buzz. Mike, I swear to Christ, this is true.
Right.
I went in and I said to the lady, hi, I'm Don from, you know, Blue 128, and we're going to have a little gag. We're playing on somebody. We would like to have a stamp made that says this. And it was exactly what they put on, like it said, this goes to show that this person has passed and is recognized as a third-class license. Now,
the lady must have had part of her brain exposed.
Mike, I swear to Christ.
I'm not questioning you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, don't find it hard to believe. I'm slick like that. I used to be. But no, she was stupid. And also, I mean, who would do that?
Right.
I mean, think about it. Who would do? I had to do a cell job.
But outside of that, if I remember correctly, it was a very simple stamp. It was not an elaborate stamp.
No,
it wasn't like a seal or anything.
No, it was not. But
it was more like text.
Yes, but the verbiage had to be absolute, and there was no way you could forge that.
Right.
And one day I was out driving, actually delivering the Blue 128 hit surveys to the area record store. That was one of my jobs,
mm-hmm.
and I drove past the stamp hut or whatever it was. So, and that's when I got the thought, and I went back the next week with my line of BS for the lady and said, we need this for a guy at work, and it's going to be a joke, like on his permanent record.
Right.
And she said, oh, yeah, we can make that for you. So waited about a week, went in, got it, came to the radio station one day, saw this guy, said, take your license off the wall, got out the ink, boom, stamped it for him, put it right back up. Program director came in a couple days later. Hey, congratulations. Third endorsed. Way to go. That's what they say.
Wow.
Eighth time's the charm.
Oh, my God.
Eighth time.
That's incredible. And it was a very, very intricate little test that you had to take with all the readings and calculations. And then, what was it like, you know, 5 years later, they blew the whole thing up. You didn't have to take it.
Yeah, you don't have to have a license now.
Right.
But back then, boy,
it was the be-all. You couldn't work commercial radio unless you had one of those licenses.
Right.
And again, that was one that I can't imagine anybody else would have ever thought of doing because it's so stupid.
Right.
But we would stand there sometimes, this guy and I, during the time I worked at the station, because they were all right on the wall in the studio. Sometimes we'd just stand there and look at it and go, that's a fine job. How did we ever do that? You know, really, how did that happen?
Okay, don't thank you. Thank the lady at the stamp hut.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, she could have, you know. Nowadays, of course, that wouldn't happen.
No. You couldn't. You could. I mean, have I ever told you? Boy, I'm using way past my 15 minutes here. I've ever told you when I was a young man, how I discovered the magic when I was at a library. I had to be, it was 1968,
mm-hmm.
so I'm 10 years old.
Okay.
I had gotten a bad grade in a class. I had gotten like a D, and was petrified of my parents seeing this report card. Now, again, I'm saying all this stuff, and you're just going to think I'm the awfulest, worst, most lying, scheming, manipulative person in the world. But too bad. I think it shows... I think it shows an incredible get up and go on.
Ingenuity.
Sure. I'm a man that can make things happen.
You don't look at it as a character flaw.
Even as at a young age.
Right.
Of course I do, Mike. Oh, Jesus Christ. What I did was, and tell me who was as ahead of the curve as I was. In the 60s, when the only place that you could find a Xerox machine was at a library, and it costs 75 cents to make one copy. This was like 68 or 69.
Right.
Now, the reason, so I know they've got it at the library. I know that the report cards have been mailed out. I get the mail, and I very carefully open mine up.
Sure.
And I see, oh, Christ, there it is, a D. You know, they're going to be pissed.
Right.
And I know that I can get the grade back up, blah, 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 blah. So what I do is come up with a reason for them to take me to the library. While I'm at the library, which was not the school library, it was like the county library, like
right.
Prince George's County Library, I go in back towards the research part. I get out my report card, and I had all the change I needed. I made a photostatic copy of it.
Right.
So now I've got my I've got my Xerox up.
Right.
The original.
Then what I did was took an eraser, and I erased out every single grade and every single comment that had been written on the card. And there weren't a lot of comments. There were just, you know, A, B, A, B, A, right. B, and then just this gigantic, like, big as a horse's ass D.
So it's a clean slate now.
So what I did was I erased all that out, ran it back through the machine again, and now I have my own report card.
Blank.
Well, and what I've got to do
waiting
now...
Waiting for you to fill it out.
What I've got to do now is...
With straight A's.
I had to go to the machine in the library, not a machine, but what's that big, like, almost like a machete? That
it's a paper cutter.
A paper cutter, right? And, like, nobody notices because it looks like I look like I'm there working on a school project.
Right, right.
Go over to the corner, and I make sure the edges are all straight on this baby, and I'm just like that. Put it very carefully in my book. Go out. I'm ready. Let's go. Go home that night. Lock my door. Get out the correct color pen.
Mm-hmm. So it was handwritten. The grades were handwritten in the little squares.
Yes, they're handwritten by me.
You know, but I mean, the teacher
handwritten. The teacher had handwritten. Mm-hmm. So I wrote all of the grades exactly the same, except they turned the D into an A.
Well, but then, hey, if you're taking that much time, you might as well go all the way with it.
And then being as...
Why make it a C+?
And then being as the mail was out of my control except for the weekend...
Mm-hmm.
I remember that I had a couple of tense days with, like, my parents saying, shouldn't your report card have arrived already?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should call the school. And I was like, nah, don't sweat it. And I remember the Saturday waiting for the mailman.
Right.
Waiting for the man. Finally, he comes. I go running down there, and there it is. And I got, and Jack, I got to work fast. And now,
yeah.
I don't care about ripping it open. Because I'm just going to give it to them.
Right.
So what I do is, and they could be watching me. I mean, I don't think that they were watching me.
So the mailman was delivering the real report card?
No. When the mailman came, just on a Saturday, which was the only day that I could sneak something into the mail.
That you would be there when the mailman was there.
Now, I've got the envelope that the real report card came in.
Gotcha. Now I understand.
That I was lucky enough to snag.
Right.
So... Now, this is the only day of the week that I can make the switch. So it's Saturday. I go running out there. Inside my little pocket, I've got the envelope,
right,
that the real report card came in. I get all the mail from him, and at the same time, I've got the fake report card in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm going through the mail, I pretend that I'm reopening the envelope.
It's sleight of hand.
Right. And now keep in mind the details here. I make sure that I rip off the corner that's got the date it was postmarked.
Right.
So that Sam and Fran won't... I'm 10 years old! So that they won't figure out, like, it showed up a week and a half early.
Uh-huh.
I slip that baby back in there. I walk inside like a cool customer. Go, well, here it is. You asked for it. There's the report card. It's pretty good. Played it so low-key. And those stupid Fs never knew. They never knew the difference. They never knew. Didn't matter.
And when was the time where you bought the Pan Am airplanes and put them in your tub?
And do that.
It never got into checks, did it?
That's all I've got. That's all I've got.
It's not. You know, if you'd taken it a step further, you could have been, you know, traveling the world.
Yes.
And you know, and had the suitcase full of all the IDs and stuff like that.
Man.
No, these were just.
This
a couple
is what
of...
really. That's what a that you know, you chose the radio career path. Mm-hmm. And
similar.
Some might say certain people in this business are con artists anyway. Mm-hmm. But right. You know, you could have. It's really some of these things, especially at 10. Sounds like you could have been. Who was that guy's name? What was that guy's name
Frank.
In the Frank something?
In like Frank Abagnale
or something like that. Yeah. Hello, Frank. I knew you'd be on this plane. Tom Hanks waiting for you. That's amazing at 10.
Right. Well, there you go.
Were they pleased with the report card? Did you get a pat on the head? Did you get any immediate payoff?
No, as I recall, it was something like, okay, good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, although if it had been bad, it would have been...
So they didn't have to sign it and send it back like you do now.
Negatory.
Mm-hmm.
Negatory. And, you know, and then by the time the next one came, I had been worried that there would be a D on there.
Right, right.
But I didn't even sweat it. I thought, what the hell, it had been raised up to a B or whatever by the next grading period.
I got a D in the first 9 weeks of a school year, and I was able to carefully trace over it and turn it into a B. Just add that middle line in there and curve it off a little bit. But then, of course, I was, as you just pointed out,
faced with a challenge every 9 weeks after that, forced to change the grade card that came out of it. I had to do that four times.
My kids will never have that opportunity.
No.
Yeah,
no,
with the children of two homes, because both parents get a set of the report card.
Wow.
That's the way that works.
And also, now you couldn't do it.
No.
I mean,
technology.
You could do a lot more with computers now, though.
You know, I'm not sure about that, though. I mean, the only thing that would prevent it is you have to sign it and return it.
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm not sure. You know, when you're signing and returning a report card, at least at my kid's school, every single teacher would have to review the report card.
Oh.
No, that's not good. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good thing we've graduated.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, was that D in citizenship? Man, you were a bad kid.
No, you know what that D was? That D was in entertainment, my friend. Because I knew that
you entertained yourself.
I knew that I had something to offer. You know, listen, when Van Gogh said, "Mom, listen, history is just a drag, because I'd rather paint."
Mm-hmm.
You know, did they listen to him? Of course
they
not.
Said, "I'm all ears."
And Van Gogh had to get out the Xerox machine and fake his report card at art school.
And they looked at him and said, "Knock it off." He said, "No, I'll cut it off."
All right, I'm not telling you that obviously to make you think better of me. It's just what I feel like talking about today.
You're in that mood.
All right, guys, get a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Here's the way I see it, Ted. Guy puts a fancy guarantee in a box because he wants you to feel all warm and toasty inside.
Yeah, makes a man feel good.
Of course it does. Why shouldn't it? You figure you put that little box under your pillow at night, the guarantee fairy might come by and leave a quarter. Am I right, Ted?
What's your point?
The point is, how do you know the fairy isn't a crazy glue sniffer? Build a model airplane, says the little fairy. Well, we're not buying it. He sneaks into your house once, that's all it takes. Next thing you know, there's money missing off the dresser and your daughter's knocked up. I've seen it 100 times.
But why do they put a guarantee on the box, then?
Because they know all they sold you was a guaranteed piece of shit. That's all it is, isn't it? Hey, if you want me to take a dump in a box and mark it guaranteed, I will. I got spare time. But for now, for your customer's sake, for your daughter's sake, you might want to think about buying a quality product from me.
Okay, I'll buy from you.
Alex! What?
The Don and Mike Show. Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Much as we would like to call Joe and talk to him on his way to the Stones concert in Baltimore tonight, somebody much more important, standing by, called in. That's right.
Mr. CBS.
Not doing the Super Bowl this year, but certainly welcome to talk about it. Here now is Nancy. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys.
Hey, everybody.
There he is.
Hey, guys.
Here we are. There's so much happening on that, all that pre-production stuff. You got Howard Cosell in there trying to save Philadelphia.
Uh-huh. Hey, guys.
Famous broadcast, Jim.
Very famous.
And hold on, everybody. Jim Nance. If I could just embarrass you for a second.
Well, what would make that any different than any other time I've been on your show?
Howard Cosell, a class act, of course.
Of course, and a hero of mine.
Did you not recently win the Sportscaster of the Year Award?
Let's give him a round of applause.
Yeah. Did you?
He's
did,
too modest
did,
to brag you? About it.
Winner.
Come on now, didn't you?
I did. I
winner! Winner!
Thank you for that. What's on your mind today?
Well, we just wanted to congratulate you for that because, you know, you mean a lot to us.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Mike. And maybe you guys will come down to Salisbury, North Carolina for the May 1st festivities when Steve Rushen from Sports Illustrated is saluted as the National Sports Writer of the Year and Phil Rizzuto gets the Hall of Fame recognition.
Jim, now listen, you're in the Super Bowl rotation. CBS gets the game every couple of years.
Every third.
So this year, do you feel left out? Are you jonesing for the football now?
You know, honestly, I don't have much to complain about. We get to do 20 games a year, the best game each week on the CBS television network. And that goes right through the AFC Championship game we called 10 days ago. Pittsburgh and Denver, and I love the season, and I understand what the rules are. We get it next year. We'll be down in Miami.
Right. You glad to be doing the golf again?
You know I am. I'm honestly I'm a little fatigued from the fall season. reason that had me traversing the country the last 6 weeks back and forth, mostly on the West Coast, and a few other odds and ends and tapings in between that have pretty much kept me intact on just a road schedule these days. But, you know, this Super Bowl, I look forward to watching it as a fan. I'm sure I'd love to be there calling it, but we'll get our chance next year.
Yes, you will. Now, what do you think about the rumors that Al Michaels wants to go to be with Madden and that other people are going to get Monday Night Football? Are you privy to any of those rumors?
I'm not privy to any of it, and, you know, I don't know what to say about it. Al is, in my mind, I mean, he's just the best play-by-play announcer there is, and I have great regard for him, and, you know, he is, from what I understand, under contract ESPN. When they take over the Monday night package next year, of course, that means he won't be calling if he does, in fact, stay with ESPN, which I assume he would.
It does.
They have no playoff games under that package, not even a wild card game, so that's probably pretty hard for a guy like Al, who has called so many big events and Super Bowls, to know that this could, in fact, Sunday be the last time he ever calls a Super Bowl.
He's a class act.
He is, and he's an incredible announcer, and I love sitting back watching and listening to how he puts the game broadcast.
Jimmy, come on. Be honest.
As soon as we get off the air with the Phoenix Open.
That's right. Okay.
We got a little promo in there for you, boys.
Let's get the plug in for CBS.
CBS.
America's number one network. Jim, how do you feel about the fact, I know you don't watch the competition, you watch the Super Bowl this weekend, but since you've gone so over-the-top crazy about the CBS America's Most Watched Network, have you
I've
noticed?
I've done that all on my own, too, by the way.
I've
just decided every time I give a promo on, you know,
here's
why
the
not
deal.
Remind people we're America's here's number one network, right?
Jim, listen, Nancy, I know that they all have to read the cards. You sell the cards.
Mm-hmm.
You sell
nobody
them.
Does it like you do. I mean, really, nobody does. You know, you make a joke that obviously they tell you when to read them and they put them in front of you. Right. But you know what? You make them your own, Jim.
And now I'm getting to a compliment here. I think because of the way you sell this, and I know you don't like talking about the competition and bad-mouthing the competition.
Right.
But I noticed that Fox started running stuff saying, don't forget this game is on this weekend on Fox. This week, America's Most Watched Football Network. And they really did say, this week.
And then said, qualified it with football?
America's Most Watched Football Network. Mm-hmm. And then, after the Steelers game, after the championship game, I see CBS comes on with a promo that says, the Steelers-Denver game was the highest-rated game of the year. There is no doubt. It's like Les Moonves is King Kong on top of a building. Just like a... Oh!
More people watch the NFL on CBS than any other network. That is true.
There we go.
Otherwise, I couldn't say it.
That's right. Absolutely.
But I did notice that. I did notice that Fox was spouting off about something. Yes.
Jim, let's do a very quick check. Let's get off the topic of
football.
You're
going to hit me up with a lineup, aren't you?
Jim, I got a wild card for you tonight.
What night is tonight? Wednesday night?
No. Just tell me something. Still standing. Is it a new episode or a repeat? We're not in sweeps yet.
Boy, that's a good one. This would be about the time where you could burn off a repeat before you come on with the new stuff. I'm going to go repeat tonight on Still Standing.
Hold on now. I'm not. Before I tell you if you're right or wrong, it's like we're going to play Let's Make a Deal.
Mm-hmm.
You have Still Standing and Yesteryear. One of those shows is new and one is a repeat.
You're giving Jim a choice. The pressure's on, Jim.
Now, wait, you said the other one's Yes, Dear?
Yes, Yes, Dear's yes, the other, dear. And Still Standing.
Still Standing. One of them is...
My favorite all-time show.
Particularly
since they wrote a show around me 2 years ago.
Sure.
Started, do you remember that one?
You can stay with your original guess of Still Standing.
Well, here's what you
and
do.
And walk away
yes,
with that
dear.
Brand.
Normally...
Hey, God.
No, let's see. Yes, Dear is okay. I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking tonight, new episode, Yes, Dear, repeat, Still Standing.
Jim Nance, it's a brand new Buick.
You guys are funny.
Yes, sir.
There he is.
And you guys are funny.
There he is, everybody.
That's why I am the guy that it sells the number one network.
Right. What you just said. You mind if I maybe stole that?
Oh, that's from Yes, Dear, isn't it? That's the tape from Yes, Dear.
Where's the other one where he says...
Can I hear it again? I'm not sure.
Where's the one where he says, I'm Jim Nance?
I don't know.
Oh, hold on. Here we go.
You go with me. I got a plane.
Oh, that's one. Here's one.
Absolutely.
Here he is again.
How about after we get finished with the broadcast, you come with me to the CBS party?
Is that the episode, Jim?
Well, you know, the lines were a little bit... you sound like you've sped him up or something.
How about you come to the game with me? Sit on the CBS set, the Superdome. I'll take good care of it. Best seats in the house.
What about my guys? Where are they in this?
The guys.
I like what you just said. Do you mind if I maybe stole that and use that on the broadcast?
We isolated just your voice. We don't care about your
Jim, family. You should know by now, we don't care about the others.
Here we go. Here is the definitive tape of Jim Nantz on Yesteryear.
Jim Nantz is on fire today!
Actually, it wasn't Jim, it was somebody else, but still.
Jim Nantz is on fire today!
Now, are you in Detroit, Jim?
No. I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, that's right, getting ready for the tournament.
Yes, we're right here in the beautiful sunshine of the deserts of Arizona. It's beautiful here.
Now, see, I love it. I know Don loves the football. I love the golf. You almost gave us a little of that, that picture painting you do so well.
A little scene set here. Uh-huh. We're in the desert.
That Butler Cabin. Lanny, tonight you and I at Butler Cabin.
I love it.
Lanny, your strong handshake.
Oh, nobody describes Torrey Pines better.
You were watching.
I was indeed.
We had quite an event last week with Tiger winning.
Not a bad tournament to start the season off with, Jim.
Did a monster rating on America's number one network.
Of course.
And we had fun. We'll be here at instead of the Phoenix Open, is the FBR Open.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
What's that?
Is it Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
The Friedman Billings Ramsey.
You're all over it, actually. Yeah. It's a company based right back there where you guys are from.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that Tiger Woods, though.
He's good guys, too.
Tiger Woods is a class act.
Yes, he is.
Jimmy, I've just been handed this. I bet that I didn't know this. Mike, I bet you didn't know this.
Okay. Bulletin?
Did you know? Yes. Hold on a second. There's a video game called Golden Tee.
Oh, yeah.
2006. And our own Jimmy Nantz.
Jim Nantz is on fire today.
Are you the voice of Golden Tee now?
I'm the host.
Oh, wow. My God.
Right, Lisa.
Do you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah, that is the sound of one man's
great pride. Do you know that
Virtual Nancy.
Golden Tee is the number one arcade game in the world.
Oh, yeah. Sound you hear is the sound of...
I'm not embellishing. You know how, Don used to play Miss Pac-Man all the time.
You have
it had
a memory.
About a nice 10-year run as the number one arcade game in the world. Right now, it's Golden Tee.
And Peter Jacobson was doing that before,
he
right?
He is my analyst, but, you go buy a Golden Tee arcade, and you'll see me up there plastered on the top of that thing, and I actually will call every shot.
Oh, that is very cool.
It's all narrated. We've got some scene sets for you too, Mike, the ones you like.
Oh, wow.
Got a variety of courses you can play.
I love it.
My concern, Jim, was that the T would be replaced with the letter P.
Mm-hmm.
Would
say, of course not.
Jim Nantz would be involved in that.
Didn't
say that.
Now, no. Jim, is it not true you also host Dance Dance Revolution?
I've done that now for five of the last 6 years.
Incredible.
Wow.
No. What are you talking about?
Where do you make
that's
time?
A video game. That's a video game.
No, I don't do that.
Jimmy, Nancy, listen, really, who do you like in the game this
week? You want to talk about the other things I endorse?
Well,
some of my sponsors are feeling a little left out right now.
Well, all I know is the Golden Tee, from what I've read about that particular arcade game, that's the sound of your wallet fattening if you got involved
in
that, Jim.
I do encourage you to go play. It is so much fun, folks.
Congratulations.
Okay.
Every once in a while, which of those movies, is it Happy Gilmore that you're in?
Tin Cup, the real legitimate movie.
I'm sorry, not the goofy one. I know it's a golf movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, always thought on Tin Cup, Jim, to capture the real feel, they could have gotten a few more extras in that particular movie.
You mean you didn't think there was enough gallery there?
No, I didn't think there was enough gallery. Didn't think it looked legit.
We had over 1,000 people out there a day as extras.
1,000.
You were also great in Soul Plane. I love doing that. Jim, seriously, here we go now. Come on, please tell us.
You're saying let's be serious? Okay, let's try.
Who do you like in Super Bowl? who do you
like?
I
blood.
And I like you too, Jimmy.
I like you a lot, Don.
I like you too, Nancy. Who do you like to win the Super Bowl?
He's thinking, ladies and gentlemen.
Me again who's playing.
Okay.
Here's how I feel about this, okay? I'm going to guess that you guys are Pittsburgh, am I right?
Mm. We're really not decided yet.
Yeah. I'm just noticing there's too much play on the Steelers. I think this is such an even matchup that just to have a standout pick. Now, listen, my heart would be with Pittsburgh because they're out of the AFC. CBS is the AFC network. CBS is America's number one network.
It all ties together.
And I would love to see the Steelers win the game for selfish reasons. But right. I'm going to pick Seattle 24, Pittsburgh 24.
Wow.
It's a gutsy pick we got
that?
From Jim Nance.
He is
save
going
the
against.
Save the Steelers. Go down by one.
Now you...
Seattle, your Super Bowl 40 champions.
When that gets back,
I'll come on Monday so we can just play this tape back.
Well, you're standing, but you feel strongly about this pick.
I don't feel strongly about it, no.
All right, Jimmy.
I'm glad that I sound so convincing, but no, I don't feel strongly about it. I think there's a good chance Pittsburgh's going to win the game.
Okay, very good.
I'm doing one of those standout picks because everybody else is picking Pittsburgh.
And, right. And finally, what is the golf you're doing this weekend?
It's that FBR Open here.
In Phoenix, Arizona.
I wanted a real plug. I mean, what time? It's not on the same time as the game, obviously.
No, in fact, it'll be open unless there's a playoff. It will be on 3 to 6 Eastern time, Saturday and Sunday, on CBS, America's most watched network.
Okay. We'll be watching you on the golf.
Listen, you guys are turning me into nothing but a promo machine out here.
Nobody does it better.
That's what you are, Jimmy. And when do you start doing the basketball, then?
A couple of weeks away. Are you guys in Detroit right now?
No, we're not doing the Super Bowl broadcast.
Yes,
no.
Here's the thing. We used to go to the Super Bowl every year, but then we had a friend, and it was in his hometown.
Yes.
And
it really soured us on the whole experience.
Let me just tell you about this guy. He's such a swinging dick that he's got tickets. He's got season tickets for the Houston Texans, and he's never been.
Yes. He's a powerful man.
He's too busy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all
about supporting a community, I would suspect.
He was too busy to see us in his hometown.
I remember that. And it hurts so bad that maybe, you know, 2-3 years down the road we'll go back. But now we're still sad.
Now we're going...
I strongly urge you to work Miami into the Super Bowl rotation next year.
Oh, is that where it is, Miami next
Miami.
Year?
Miami.
I think we will see you, Jimmy.
A stone crab claw in the air and have a toast.
Miami's a good city for that game.
I love
it.
That.
Is. We'll be there.
Nancy, seriously, thank you very much for your prediction. Thank you for your time. It's always great talking to you. And let's talk again like Final Four time.
Or right before the tournament begins so I can give you my Final Four picks before the tournament starts.
Fantastic, Jim.
All right.
Thank you, Jim Nance.
Guys, seriously, okay. Thank you very much. Thank we'll talk guys. Soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jim Nance, class act.
Just delightful. And wonderful music for the background.
Those are all class songs.
From a lady. Right. A piano guy would be able to play all of them.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, that's Nancy. And Buzz?
Yes.
Give us
oh, of course. Somebody we have to check in with.
Absolutely.
I know.
A guy that it was probably feeling no pain when he called before.
Let's see if he's still conscious.
Who knows?
Hello, Joe? Joe's in a limo on his way to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
See the Stones.
Or Lost Baltimore, as he called it.
Yes.
Joe's in the official limo with the Dynamike Show.
Hello?
Northern Virginia. Hi, Joe. Northern
Hi.
Virginia Town Car and Limousine Service.
Mm-hmm.
Online at www.novalimos.net or at 703-739-9770. Are you in Baltimore yet?
Yeah, and ask for Solomon when you call the limo company.
Ask for Solomon.
Solomon.
Where are you right now?
We're at a little bistro called the ESPN Zone.
Oh, you're hanging out before the concert.
Yeah, well, for now we are. We stopped at a hotel closer by the arena for, you know, a little break. Did you get my drift? And there were a lot of Stones fans up here, so we came down to the Inner Harbor to have a couple of pops, and nobody's here.
Nobody's at the Inner Harbor?
There's, like, you know, just a handful of people here at ESPN Zone.
Huh.
Okay, but
it's all, what is it? It's only 6 o'clock, so...
But the important part of this is you took the day off of this, and that you're there now. How many beers did you have on the way to Baltimore?
More than 6 and less than 12.
Uh-huh. Okay. Attaboy.
Right,
and you're going to have a kick-ass tape for us tomorrow of you at the Stones concert with all your Stones friends?
I have the tape deck with me, so we are on the prowl.
Oh, fantastic,
Joe. Right. Make magic, Joe.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
Is your friend...
Plus, we saw the buses for the Stones, so when we get done here, if nothing develops here, we're going to go back and knock on those bus doors.
And are you with the listener right now that you're going to be going to the concert with, or are you just with the guy from the limo company?
The listener.
How's the listener?
Oh, yeah, the listener.
Are you having a good time with him?
Yeah.
Or more importantly, is he having a good time with you?
Are you having a good time, Doug?
I'm having a great time.
He's having a good time.
Here the dog fixes everything.
Yeah, he's turned up after a few beers.
Oh, fantastic.
All right, good. All right, well, then Joe will check back with you tomorrow.
Okay.
And I won't say drive safely because you're not driving.
No,
you're
right.
I'm not driving. Everything's cool. We're going to have a great time.
Okay, Joe.
All right, Joe.
Joe.
Hey, Mike?
Yes, yes, Joe.
Where's Charlie?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Why do I feel I'll be checking police blotters in the
Charlie,
morning?
Charlie!
Oh, and I think we'll also play the, maybe the Bush, for Joe, we'll play the Bush marijuana song that we come back.
Okay, good, good, good.
From the State of the Union last night.
Joe's still on the line,
isn't
he?
Okay, Joe?
Yes.
You want to take us?
Budweiser over there?
Do you want to take us to break, Joe?
Oh, yeah, Don and Mike show and go to break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, hey, be careful with that. That's the most powerful trank gun on the market. Huh, got her in Mexico.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. They say it can puncture the skin of a rhino from a...
Ow! Yes! That's awesome!
What?
You just took one in the jugular, man!
Whoa.
Yes!
Is this bad?
You should pull that out.
Wait. Wait. Pull it out.
The dart, man. Got a dart in your neck.
You're crazy. You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you. But you're crazy. I'm so tired.
The Don and Mike Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Let's move on to a man who is a visionary.
Yes,
a soothsayer. Dr. James Capers. He is traveling to Carnival. He has DVDs for sale. He's going to New York soon. And, of course, according to him, he predicted the Pittsburgh Steelers would beat the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, I am sure that he's had more impressive predictions over the years. I mean, how many? Tons of people predicted that.
And again, he kind of sounds like Little Richard. You go to his website, drjamescapers.com, get a good look at him.
Yeah, please.
He's a handsome man. He's a seer. He's a sage.
What, my purchase and credit card?
Yes.
Yes, there he is.
James Capers.
Doesn't he sound like Little Richard?
Oh, help me, Don and Mike. How you two doing today?
Yeah.
How are you, Dr. Capers?
Oh, I'm full of energy. My goodness, I had two cappuccinos. I'm going through the roof.
You know, I couldn't help but overhear Rob, our producer, when you were on the phone with him before you came on, and we had to push you back a little bit, and I guess you told Rob you were going to lunch. I'm curious what you had when you were at lunch today.
Oh, my gosh. They have a beautiful place here in San Diego called a Canada Steak Burger, and I had a couple of baked chicken, a little bit of salad, and you know us black people, we like our ribs.
Oh, wow, that's a hell of a lunch. So it's a heavy lunch,
it's
then.
Proportion.
You blacks and your ribs. Dr. Capers, when did you predict that the Steelers would beat the Seahawks?
Oh, that was, I did my national broadcasting, I think it was 5 days before the game.
5 days before the game.
What national broadcast was that you were on? I don't.
It was on different syndications, all over the country. You know how.
Well, now how come we are not in the power rotation? If you're making major predictions.
Guys, I love you guys. You know you're my eight spoon coons. You have to catch me out, but you don't call me for every 6 months.
Did you call us your ace boom cools?
Oh yes, you are.
Wow.
Well, give me another prediction now. Give our show a prediction.
Well, what kind of prediction do you want?
Let me see. What's coming up? I'm trying to think anything.
Who's going to win the Oscar?
Oh, good one. Please. We all know that plan.
How about Best Picture? What will the Best Picture be?
Oh, now you know that mountain movie. That's got to be
Brokeback Mountain.
Now, have you...
Everybody wants to see The Forbidden. They want to see two white men kissing.
Have you? Now, Dr. Capers, have you seen the film?
Oh, My heart dropped down to my feet, and I had to take the bag of popcorn and hide my face. I blushed.
You blushed. Now,
I really did. I blushed.
We have never gone down this road with you, this highway.
Right.
This Hershey Highway. I will ask. You're a good friend. You've been on our show for many years.
I think we may have gone down this highway with the good doctor before.
Both of you guys are going down the highway today. Well, I hope it's not exit stage left now.
let's remember that's an exit, not an entrance. And
not always,
you
though.
You do be good.
And Dr. Capers,
yes.
If I could be so bold,
yes.
To ask and to inquire, and if my lady does not want to answer, I will certainly understand about your sexual preferences. Would it be...
guys, you know for years that the good doctor is celibate. I don't believe in sex without
celibate.
And I'm not married, and my sexual preference is to possibly be married, so guess what I'm doing? I'm saving myself!
You're saving yourself. Is there any woman or man that you have seen in the past that maybe would have gotten your favors as far as
The only way you're going to get into this big old mountain down this nice little valley, you got to lead me, guide me to the altar.
Okay, so you're going to wait till you're married. I think we've established that. I don't think we've established.
Are you waiting on Cuba Gooding Jr.
or are you waiting on Aretha Franklin?
Oh well, Aretha's a little bit chubby and Cuban short and bald headed.
I believe that'll eliminate that conversation.
I'll be honest with you, I've never ventured on the other side before, but after seeing that movie, I said to myself, I wonder if I really ever had feelings like that.
Okay. All right, now we're getting somewhere. All right.
Now,
but I've never really have ever did anything. But I think a lot of men, especially during the years of college years, although they want to sweep it on the rug because men are like dogs, you know, all different types of breeds.
Now, Dr. Capers, as long as we're having this open and honest dialogue, and you're saying that you never did anything, was anything ever done to you?
Oh, my goodness. Why do you want to know what I do with my penis?
We care. Because we care.
You want to date? Tell the truth, because you ask me. The only way another man asks another man those kind of questions, he wants a date. Well, now, if you want to
date,
I would try it.
Well, we admire your candor, and we thank you for being so forthcoming. Do you see yourself getting married anytime in the future?
Well, actually, hopefully, there was a date. I was supposed to be engaged this coming July, July 31st, that just passed. I was supposed to be engaged. It was a nice black lady. She's a doctor.
Okay.
And she's out of the Beverly Hills area. But you know what happens is when women have lots and lots of money, you know, they have a tendency to be very overbearing. And she...
Not just when they have money.
Too independent for me.
Mm-hmm.
She was too independent.
You want more of a traditional wife?
Yeah, well, you know what, guys, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want someone making more money than me, bringing it home, and then telling me to wash the dishes.
Understood.
Amen. So
when I come home, I want to be the man in the house. I want to put my feet up, and I don't want somebody to come home and say to me, you know what, I bring home all the money, and yada, 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 yada.
How's the pursuit of your education going?
Well, you know, things are going extremely great. I have 3 DVDs out. Oh,
really?
Yeah, 3, and there's, oh my gosh, my website is, I'm just getting so many hits, and...
Now, are these gay DVDs?
You want a date, don't you?
Yeah, I'm already indicated, yes.
Look, is it that you're getting horny, or you just want to explore after seeing Blue Mountain?
Blue Mountain. Well, speak for yourself. Did you predict?
The latest DVD that I have out is Learn How to Defend Yourself from Psychic Vampires, Wicked Mother-in-Laws, Witchcraft, Psychic Attack, and Revengeful Lovers.
Okay, now wait a minute. You've mentioned vampires and wicked mother-in-laws in there. Do you consider vampires and wicked mother-in-laws to be somehow equal?
You know what? That's a good question.
Thank you.
I think in some cases that could be absolutely true.
Are there real vampires, Dr. Capers?
Well, when we're talking about psychic vampires, we're actually talking about people who draw on your psychic, physical, and spiritual energy.
So they suck your brain juice. They suck your brain juice. That's what they do.
Oh, baby, 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 sweet baby.
They put a straw in your head and they suck out your brain juice.
Can a psychic...
And before you know it, guys, you're sitting there, you're so exhausted. You're so exhausted because they completely drained you.
Sucked you dry.
But people like this. This is real people like this.
They have just sucked you dry.
How do they do it?
Well, you know, people...
With their mouths?
We exchange wavelengths. And with someone who's a psychic vampire, they're always constantly pulling on your energy to make you weak, to put you under the weather, to keep you down.
And how do you know if you're being attacked by a psychic vampire?
Well, there's several different types of symptoms, and that's what's in the DVD, so you can watch it.
Oh, the gay DVD.
My new DVD, which is called Learn How to Defend Yourself from Psychic Attacks and Traps.
All right, can you give us any examples of a psychic vampire?
Yes. First of all, you feel like your heart might start beating extremely fast. You feel like you're being closed in. You're highly anxieties rise up to a...
That's my heart beating now.
Like you're being watched.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing well.
So, Dr. Capers, give us a prediction now. Here you go. America's most beloved and most recognized psychic of this century. Tell us something we did not know.
Well, I didn't prepare any predictions for today.
Well, let me just throw something out. Our friend James Brown from Fox NFL Sunday is contemplating a job change. Will he stay at the Fox Broadcasting Network?
Or will he go to CBS?
Well, I feel that there's a possible leaving.
Can you go one way or the other, please?
Well, leaving means not staying.
No, hold on. Is he going to CBS or staying at Fox?
Well, I feel like there's the door that's open for him is not where he's at now. He's been there for a long time, but the offer is better on the other side.
Wow.
I am shocked.
Lucky guess. Lucky guess. Why are you going to Carnival?
What do you mean, lucky guess? Come on, guys. I'm going here.
Doctor, why are you going to Carnival?
Oh, I'm going to Carnival because, you know, I take my students from all over the world on different locations, and this time we're going down to study the different type of spiritualism in Brazil. You know, Brazil
has... Oh, they got voodoo down there.
Oh, yes. First, second, third degree spirits, where actually things rise up off the floor and...
Scary voodoo.
Oh, well, they have alchemy, too, don't forget.
All of his ass students.
Well, you know, alchemy was around for years and years, and now we guys were laughing about it, but alchemy is quite real.
What is alchemy, doctor?
Alchemy is the science of mixing different types of chemicals together and learning the precision of how to do it to create a different type of manifestation or event. Or alchemy was the ancient tradition of sacred chemistry used to discern the spiritual and temporal nature of reality and structures, law, and function.
Dr. Capers, you have seen very strange things in your travels, haven't you?
Well, yeah, matter of fact, guys, I wanted to talk about that. You know what? I'm doing the best of Dr. Capers on my next month. That's when I'm putting out the best of Dr. Capers for 20 years. I was looking over some of the different things that happened, and one of the most impressive things was angels sliding down a rainbow.
Angels sliding down a rainbow. You've seen that? Yes, sure he has, Mike. I actually saw
angels sliding down a rainbow. And then that was down in Mexico. And then, you know, I have Dr. Capers' Death on the Nile.
Yes, Death on the Nile.
Hey, listen, let's play a quick game. Do you like football?
Do I like football?
Okay. Bend over.
Okay. I love sports, period.
What I want you to do is get in the position that the center gets in.
Okay.
Now, seriously, humor me on this. Like, you're going to hike the ball to Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay.
All right, so you're in your stance. Uh-huh. Now, spell the word run.
R-U-N.
That's
just an old joke.
Just a joke.
That is an old...
So bad. I think you got a horny spirit.
What about Angelina Jolie's baby? What's the name of the baby going to be?
Oh, God. It's on some sensitive stuff right now.
Really? Why would that be?
Oh, I got to keep my mouth shut.
Why?
Oh, boy. I got some juicy pussy.
Really? What's juicy about it? Come on, give us a tidbit.
Well, you know that Brad was in the hospital not too long ago, and he claimed that it was for something else. But before he got together with Angeline, he was allegedly, quote unquote, allegedly having a yeast infection. He got a little cheesy down there.
Yeah. So that's going to affect Angelina?
Well, I don't know, because, you know, basically, you know, most men don't get yeast infections. I mean, they just don't happen. It usually comes from having intimacy with somebody else.
Right.
You know, and I believe that that's the way that that happens. But I think in the case with Brad is that he has been sleeping around for so many years with so many different celebrity women. I mean, come on, guys, let's face it. He changes women's like most men change their shirts.
And so she's going to give birth to a loaf of sourdough bread, is that it?
No, I think Angelina is taking great precautions about her body and the child. But I see there's complications that I'm predicting, and I see spiritually she's having complications down in the natural birth channel. She might have to have cesarean.
C-section.
We're out of time. Once we start talking about the tunnels that go in and out of Angelina Jolie.
Well, guys, don't forget you can come up on my website and get my DVD. That's Dr. James Capers.
Yeah. We'll link it on our website, drjamescapers.com, and we'll talk to you around the 4th of July.
Oh, that'd be great. I can't wait to come back, guys.
All right. Bye, Dr. Capers.
Bye, Doc.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Very, very insightful this time around. Fantastic. And it always ends with, like, something earthy, like a yeast infection and a birth canal. And he always gives us that little nugget.
Yeah.
He keeps us coming back for more.
And that's a mighty handsome picture of him on his website.
It certainly is. Yeah. Fetching, man. And as you referred to them, his ass dudes.
Free condoms.
Oh, I see an angel sliding down a rainbow. Remember
he
that.
He wants to go to Europe with Dr. Capers.
Hey, come on now. We'll all bunk together.
It's the youth hostel program.
Hostel.
They'll be hostel. H-O-S-T-I-L-E.
Like a hostel knock on the door at about 3 a.m.
Good morning.
Look what I'm wearing.
We'll be right
back. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Do I look any different?
No.
Well, I should, because I am playing Hercules!
Hey!
They want me! They want me!
Congrats!
Oh, hey, what's going on? Disney wants me!
What are they doing, a live-action version of Dumbo? Did you throw on 40 pounds, little gray makeup? You're going to be great. Hey, what are you doing, ass?
This is a warning, my friend. You do not mess with Hercules.
Okay.
I killed my wife, I killed my children, and I shall kill you if you do not temper thy tongue.
What are you, insane, Hank?
I know not this Hank you speak of. As of this day, when you cast your eye upon me, you shall see only one man, and that man is Hercules!
This is Don and Mike Show. Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
I remember.
Let's see who's going to impress us.
There's the identifiable theme that means, breaking news.
It's the breaking news theme.
And let's get to the calls and see who's got what. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hey, hello.
Hello.
It is Brian.
Hello. Hi, Brian. Where are you from?
Sacramento, man.
All right. Sacramento, California.
Sacramento, man.
Right. Yeah, man.
What are you going to be breaking for us today, Brian?
I got a light bulb, one of those halogen light bulbs that explode. It's like a round globe.
All right. A halogen light bulb. Do you mean like the type that you would, almost like for track lighting?
Yeah. It's a small one. These little ones explode a little better.
Brian, what will your method of destruction be?
I'm going to throw it on some concrete.
Very good. You know, it's a traditional thing. It's not simple. Super fancy, but it might have a nice effect.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's give it a try. At least it'll be the sacrificial first lamb.
That's right.
Yes. For breaking news. Go ahead, Brian.
I got to leave. That's my boss. Bye.
What did he say?
I don't know.
He had to leave. His boss had just arrived.
Okay, well.
He was a genius.
Joe.
Still.
Gonna miss that light bulb.
Still, he screwed up the very first part of this game.
Yeah, he did. And he needs to be punished.
Hello?
What's up?
Get it, Joe. Are you listening to the show?
Yeah. I'm just taking a call from a numbnut out in New York.
Okay, well, listen, what a hard target search on that guy that just stiffed us. Get him back on the phone.
Yeah, he kind of bailed on us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I don't think I saved the screen.
Oh, Joe.
You might not be able to punish him. That's a shame.
Joe, I thought you lived for that, Joe.
Yeah, I know. I had some other guy who said we're going to be preempted by a Giants game, wherever the hell the Giants play.
Oh, okay. No, not
that,
again.
That would be San Francisco. But Joe, let's focus on the task at hand.
Yes.
We had someone that was going to break something, and he hung up. I normally love going to you because you have the number. You hate the listeners. You are ready to get your vigilante justice.
Crack him down.
No, I love the listeners, Don. I hate the callers.
Ah, yes. Love the listeners, hate the callers. Right.
Well, maybe line 6 will make it up for you if the guy's telling the truth.
All right. Ow. Ow.
Sorry.
Ow. Okay, goodbye.
So I guess young Brian in Sacramento was going to be breaking the boss's light bulb,
apparently. All right, let's try what Joe says on line 6. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hi there. Welcome to Breaking News. What will you be breaking today?
I will be breaking a box of glasses, and Joe's a dork.
Now, why are you saying that about Joe?
I don't know, because he says he hates us.
All right, enough of your editorial comment. What is your method of destruction going to be?
Can I say something before I go?
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, this is not...
Everybody's not being very well-behaved.
It's not the Academy Awards. You're not here to give a speech. You're here to...
It's a good thing, Doc.
How are you going to be breaking your glasses?
I will be breaking them from a height of 3 feet.
Right, so you're like standing up on a chair or a ladder.
Joe is sending me an instant message, okay? Hold on a second. Joe is IMing me saying, this dick said he had a machine gun.
Oh, did you lie, sir?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Yes, you.
I think I started it off with Joe's demeanor, so...
Well, no. That's not the... Hold on. No. That's not the question.
No. Joe just sent me an instant message indicating that when you called in for this contest...
No, he's wrong. I had a box of glasses.
Did you at any time say you had a machine gun?
No.
All right, let's get Joe on the line.
You're going to stick with that.
I can't instant message him again. Let's just get his voice.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's a great DJ voice.
Let's find out. So far, I'm thinking the guy. My crap detector is off with this guy. Seems to have a bit of an agenda.
Oh, no question.
Yeah,
he definitely has an agenda, but...
Hold on.
Hi, Joe.
I was wrong. The machine gun guy is on 3.
Ah. Is that the winner? I mean, is that the guy you like?
Well, I mean, if he's telling the truth and he's got a machine gun...
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so that thing on the computer, then, that was wrong. So you were wrong about the guy when you put the thing by the guy on line 6.
I was wrong. I guess I was wrong that he had a machine gun, but I wasn't wrong that he's a numbnut.
Joe. Ow! God damn it, Joe. Stop that.
I didn't mean to do that.
I know you didn't. Goodbye now.
Good day.
Bye!
Come on now.
Bye.
Come on,
animal.
Go easy on.
I can't work with Ardens or Mike.
Okay.
I can't work with them. Now listen.
Now do we have, is this the glasses guy still?
Yes, it is.
All right. So.
All right.
You don't have a machine gun. You.
Sorry for questioning your honesty, sir.
Sorry. Yes, just Joe sent me an instant message. Yes. Now, without giving a political speech.
Right.
Now, just go ahead and break what you want
to
break.
He's dying to talk. He seems to have some kind of agenda.
It was something nice. Harrisburg, we got to listen to you.
See, now listen.
Yeah, you're not breaking things.
Can you please?
Okay, here we go. Are you ready?
Even if you're going to say something very nice, just please break something.
All right.
I didn't hear any glass break. It didn't break, did it, sir? There we are. There's the first one.
Well,
how about another?
Bye!
Oh, yeah, not even worth it. What was his name? I don't even remember his name. I'm going to put NN. No,
hello.
Nuts.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, guys.
Hi there. Welcome to Breaking News. And what is your name?
My name is Paul. And my girlfriend's got this satellite radio nonsense. She always takes the radio with her. Well, while she's driving on the way home, I'm going to shoot the device, including the antenna, with a machine gun.
Now
this could be a triple threat here.
Yeah. Not only could this be significant and, you know, it's sending a message.
Right.
It is.
This could also be maybe our best ever.
Mm-hmm. And it could be crap, too.
What kind of machine gun is it?
Well, this is a Drozd. It's a Russian machine gun. I've taken the silencer suppressor off of it.
Good.
But it's not going to be real loud.
What's the vintage of it?
It's bought about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Wow. Right.
All right. Well, then go ahead and.
Okay. It's not gonna be real loud.
Now, sir, are you gonna place the phone down and maybe go a distance away to do your destruction? So
that's what I'm gonna do.
All right. Very good.
Hold on just a second. Okay.
Is right. The sound effect CD already in?
I've only got about 10 bullets in. So hold on.
All right. Here we go.
You like that? It's dead. It's gone.
See, that sounded real to me.
It sounded real to me also. But, you know, he said he only had 10 rounds there. You know, that's a shame he didn't have more rounds. But
can't you fire any more? Aren't you one of those crazy guys that has, like, a bunker full of ammo?
Do you have any more clips?
No, I'd have to go up and reload. I've got a couple AK-47s.
Of course you do.
But they're semi-automatic. They're not machine.
And why is it that you would have a Russian machine gun? Why would you need that?
Why not?
Hunting squirrels. Why not? You have an AK-47 handy?
Well, I've got one, and my girlfriend has one too.
Well, why don't you get out the AK-47 and put a round into it?
Well, because I can't. I'm in a residential neighborhood. And they make a lot of noise.
Oh, but it's okay to bring your Russian machine gun in the backyard.
Yeah, well, you see, it's a lot lower power.
Just squeeze off.
Well, I did hear the rounds going.
I heard the pop, pop, pop,
I heard
pop,
that,
pop,
and
pop,
it,
pop,
it,
pop,
it sounded
pop.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's our first machine gun.
But I think we're going to need more from you if you're going to win, so I'll put you on hold.
Yeah.
And maybe you can go through, like, the kitchen cupboards and see if you can find any more ammo.
Okay, let me go and see if I can find more ammo. Would you like me to break something glass that she owns?
You know what? We'd like you really to shoot things.
Yeah.
That's the way you're going to get ahead in this contest.
Shoot glass.
Is by shooting things. You can shoot all the glass you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like stack up some bottles like in the old Wild Wild West.
Okay, well, how about some of her china?
Whatever, as long as you shoot it.
I don't know what the issues are that you have with this woman, but
any
country. If that makes you happy, yes, shoot her.
Actually, I love her to death.
You love her to death, sure. But you are going to shoot things, right?
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
Hold on, we'll come back to you.
All right, thank you.
Paul.
When he owns 3 machine guns and he says, I love you to death, it's kind of spooky.
<I'm nervous. laughs> Hey, they have matching AK-47s.
That's sweet.
Hello, nice. Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello. Yeah, hello? Oh, God, what are you doing there? Hello?
Are you on a speaker, sir?
No, I'm off the speakerphone, Don.
Okay, who's this?
My name is Ryan.
Hi, Ryan. What is it you'd like to break for us today?
I'm going to shoot a direct-way satellite system.
What is your weapon of choice today, Ryan?
I got a Glock 40 with Black Talon ammunition, hollow point.
Okay, now, you know what?
Powerful.
Right now, I know that our red state numbers are going through the roof. Do I have the states right?
Mm-hmm. Ryan, for some reason, I'm compelled to say this to you. Be very careful with that weapon today.
Oh, I'm always careful with my weapons.
Very good. Okay.
Well, let me get my wife so she can hold the phone up next to it.
Wait a minute. What could go wrong?
I urge you to blindfold yourself and drink a bottle of tequila before you try this.
No, I'm not drinking anything when I'm shooting this. So.
Wait a minute. Where is your wife going to be while this is going on?
Well, she can be next to my weapon, of course.
She's going to have an apple on her head, Mike.
No, she's not going to have an apple on her head.
All right, what are you shooting again, Ryan?
I'm shooting a Glock 40.
Into a direct way.
29C composite Glock with Black Talon ammunition, hollow point.
Into a direct way satellite receiver?
Not into the receiver, to the actual dish.
The dish, very good.
All right, go ahead. Let it go.
I'm coming up to my range in my backyard. Hold on a second. I'm going to hand the phone to my wife right now.
All right. Can we say hi to her?
Yeah, she's my wife. Her name is Jennifer.
Lucky lady.
Hi, guys.
Hi Jennifer.
Hi, lucky lady.
He's getting ready to shoot?
Yep. Okay, I'm going to hold the phone up.
Do you want to give him a 3 count, Jennifer?
Sure, I'll give him a three, Colin.
Okay, okay. Be careful, Jennifer.
That would be one, two, three.
Three, two, one.
Yeah, delightful.
Oh.
Absolutely delightful. Absolutely delightful.
Oh, do we love the two
that was
game.
That sounded absolutely wonderful.
We've got to have a second round.
We did get it a second round.
There is no way that we can simply end the game now. We've got to give the guy.
Ryan is the clear leader right now.
We got to give the guy with the Russian machine gun a chance to get back into it.
I can't really hear you too well. I didn't have ear protection in, but
it was fantastic, Ryan.
All right.
Right. Searching for signal. As if that sounds like saying right now. Hold on a second there, Ryan.
All right.
You might be the winner.
He's so far, Ryan is leader. He shot his satellite with a Glock.
Joe's sending me another instant message.
Oh, good.
Okay. Now we got guys with M80s. So,
hello.
We'll come back and we'll have another round of breaking news. Mike, what did we hear there? I mean, we heard a lot of nothing.
We had Ryan from Sacramento who hung up because his boss walked in.
Right.
We had Numbnuts who dropped a box of glasses. I only heard one break.
Now that sucked.
We had Paul who shot his satellite radio with a machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan who shot his TV satellite dish with a Glock. And, you know, what I love about this bit is every time we do it, we find out just how many of our listeners have weapons.
Yes. Makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it?
Time to reload.
Makes you feel all fuzzy inside. Soylent Green is people.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Up today, the new battle with what's turned out to be the biggest waves to hit this coast since 1946. Hello, everybody. I'm Stu Nahan. I'd like you to meet this young man. His name, Jeff Spicoli. And, Jeff, congratulations to you. Things look kind of rough out there today.
Well, I'll tell you, Stu, I did battle some humongous waves. But, you know, it's like I told the guy on ABC, danger is my business.
You know, a lot of people expect that maybe Mark Cutback Davis or Bob Jungle Death Gerard would take the honors this year.
Oh, those guys are fast.
That's fantastic. Let me ask you a question. When you get out there, do you ever fear for your life?
Well, Stu, I'll tell you, surfing's not a sport. It's a way of life. It's no hobby. It's a way of looking at that wave and saying, hey, bud, let's party. Where'd you get this jacket?
I got this in the network. Let me ask you a question. What's next for Jeff Spicoli?
Headed over to the Australian and the Hawaiian Internationals. Me and Mick are going to wing on over to London and jam with the Stones. You guys are invited, too.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. It's breaking news, part two. Hello.
Hey, this is Dave.
Yes, hi, Dave.
Hey, this the first guy with the machine gun, I think that my crap detector's going way off.
Wait a minute. Are you calling to participate, Dave?
No, actually, I told Bob.
Bye.
Well, you're calling to complain. That's not allowed.
Let's go to, the guy with the M80, Jeff in Tampa Bay. Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Hi there. Welcome to the show. What are you going to do? Are you going to bust up a vase? A vase?
It's a big pitcher, but we use it as a vase. Or after today, we won't be using it any longer.
All right, a big lemonade pitcher. How many M80s are you going to put in it?
Well, they're... The guy that sold them to me said they're quarter stick of dynamite.
That's
bigger
than
an M80.
That's what I thought. But, you know, you buy them and who knows what the hell.
So you're going to put it inside of a pitcher.
Wow. I can give you a point of reference on this.
Okay.
Do you remember two guys that used to work here? They might have looked like us. And one time they set off a firework in the garage.
Oh, my God.
And
I remember.
It set off all the car alarms.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, right. That Rob, that was us. What do you mean?
What's
guys that look
oh
like us.
Oh, my God. So, Jeff, you've got an M80 and you're going to throw it in a glass pitcher.
Well, I've got more than one. I've got that and a ton of larger than regular firecrackers that I've kind of tied together.
Right, go for ahead. It.
What could go wrong?
Good. Break something, make some noise. Yeah. Dance, monkey, dance.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Yeah, go ahead. DMD. Dance, monkey, dance. What was that?
Didn't sound like a single M80.
No.
What was that?
No, it was actually a bunch together.
A bunch of M80s?
There was six M80s and a bunch of firecrackers.
Bye!
Yeah, didn't do it.
I don't think so.
Didn't do it. It was no Glock shooting, satellite.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Who's this? Hello?
Speak to us.
Don and Mike, hello. Oh, hold on a second. Look at that. This thing
it's stuck?
Yep.
It done froze?
Phone done froze up. Thank you, Robbie. Hello there. Don and Mike show. Who's this?
Don and Mike.
Right.
I have a little bit of a bad connection because I'm on the range. So
wait,
I've got
you got a terrible cell phone.
Yeah, I'm on the range.
Okay. What are you going to be breaking or destroying?
I'm going to destroy a skateboard.
A skateboard.
What is your name, sir?
My name is John.
What is it?
John.
Yes, sir.
John, how are you going to destroy the skateboard?
I have a suppressed M4.
What is a suppressed M4?
It's a assault rifle with a suppressor, a silencer on it.
Well, no, a silencer. Now, a silencer will do us no good. We won't hear the gun, but...
You'll hear it. Now, I can shoot it with it on, and I can shoot it with it off.
Just how many rounds are you going to be shooting at the skateboard?
Well, I got several 30-round magazines.
Go for it.
Just go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Yeah, do some with the silencer on, some with it off. Just go crazy.
Dazzle.
All right. First, I'm going to cut loose about 10 with the silencer, and then I'll go without it.
Very good.
All right, good. Excellent. Man. Here we
John
go.
Shooting a skateboard.
Wait one.
Still waiting. Thought I heard a cock of the gun. Silencer on.
Mm-hmm.
That's with it.
Okay, give us some without.
This is rapidly turning into an exclusive shooting.
And here's without.
Even with the bad phone, it kind of translated, didn't it?
I'm sorry about the connection, guys.
That's okay.
It worked fine.
Did you actually break or shoot anything?
Yeah, I got a skateboard. I'll mail it to you or drop it off at the station if you
You'll
want.
Mail it to us. Is it wood or fiberglass?
Hold on a second. Hold on. Let me see. Did we talk to this guy yet? Hello, Don and Mike Show. What's your name?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Rick.
Hello, Rick. What would you like to break?
Well, what would you like me to break? I'm out in the junkyard right now on a ranch, and I got junk cars out here.
Well, it's your job to pick something to impress us. What are you going to be doing?
I will be shooting it with an SKS, assault rifle. I got a backup Model 8 A500 semi-automatic shotgun with 5 in it.
Just, Rick, go ahead and shoot everything.
I say shotgun.
Shotgun.
You want shotgun first?
Whatever you want to do.
Empty them all.
All right. It's going to be loud.
Okay.
That's the idea. You'll poke your eye out.
You get that?
Just shoot your eye out.
Yeah, shoot something else with another gun.
All right, I'll block it.
Those sound good on the radio.
Right, Dick Cheney is so aroused that the White House is doing this show today.
How was that? Come through clear?
What else you got?
Oh, well, I got to go back to the house, but I can reload.
That's all right. Yeah, don't worry about it. Head on back.
Hold Pick on up and second. Throw an automobile.
You know, let me see. I don't know what we've got, but Mike, who are the names you've got?
We got Brian who hung up.
Okay, do you have a guy named Ryan?
Numbnuts. We got Ryan who shot his satellite with a Glock.
Uh-huh.
We've got John, he just shot up a skateboard.
Right.
Jeff was very disappointing with the M80s in the picture. We have Paul, he shot a satellite radio with a machine gun. But we sent Paul, who was, I think, number 3.
Oh, to get another gun.
To get an AK-47.
Let's bring him back for one more shot, then, no pun intended.
Right now, though, Don, I believe Ryan is our clear leader still with the Glock.
I agree.
Right, hello, Paul.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
All right, Paul, last chance for you to win now. Did you get yourself some better guns?
My girlfriend called. She heard you guys on the radio, and she is rather pissed. So what I got to do is finish off her china with the Russian machine gun.
before she gets here, because I got to leave, man. I got a book.
Point of order, he has not upgraded the weapon. We have heard the weapon before.
However, go ahead.
Go ahead with the machine gun.
There's going to be glass breaking. So
how much ammo do you have?
I have 30 rounds.
Excellent. Much better. He's upgraded from his 10 rounds.
Can he put the phone near the china?
I will place it as close as possible. However, the phone might become destroyed.
Yeah.
If the line goes dead, you know what happens.
So?
Hold on.
Okay.
Not going to.
It really did sound good. It is tough.
That was with the silencer, by the way.
For future reference, really, all guns should have silencers taken off of them.
I
don't know anything about guns, but that's like the crappiest silencer in the world, because if you're supposed to shoot somebody or something and not be able to hear it.
Well, even a silencer will make that sound. That's kind of what it sounded like.
You can't totally.
Do you have any more rounds in that machine gun?
Don't you watch The Bourne Supremacy? And that is like...
Right. Do you have any more rounds, Paul?
Yeah, I've got some more, I think. Hold on.
Paul, hold on. Can you take the silencer off?
Oh, no, not in this neighborhood.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, one more shot, no pun intended.
You guys going to throw my bail? I didn't think so. Okay. Now, what I've got is... the coffee pot that her ex-husband gave her, okay?
All right, last item. Go ahead and shoot it.
I hate this crap.
Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
Stand by.
Just shoot it.
He's a handful.
He is.
He's an idiot.
Of course, he's got a gun.
That could make him a winner. An idiot with a gun.
Sorry, guys. Can't fire it. Won't work.
It jammed?
Got a jam.
Got a jam, and I think that means that we are going to have to say...
Wiggle it a little bit.
The guy with the Glock is our winner. Then.
Ryan!
Yeah, Ryan.
Ryan is our big winner.
Got his satellite dish.
Hello?
Ryan, congratulations. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Again on breaking news, you shot your satellite dish.
Sure did.
With a Glock.
Yep.
And you got the MP3 player from Samsung and Circuit City and $100 in cash.
Oh, great. I have never won anything over the radio, and I've been trying forever.
Well, you and your Glock just won you all those prizes.
All it was a gun.
Why don't you pretend you're in Iraq and just fire into the air?
do you want me to do an encore for you?
Big time.
I got another clip loaded up.
Why don't you pretend you live in Dale City and just fire the gun?
I know I live in Dale City. What did I get?
Fire when ready, Ryan.
All right, come on. It's dark out now. I got a house right behind my house, though. It kind of sucks.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
For them, they'll move.
Nice.
More show coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. It's the best of Don and Mike.
I think you probably have a very nice app as well.
I think you are way out of control. You're just trading sex for alcohol and cigarettes.
Share something with you just really quickly.
Of course.
You know, our feud was long over, the feud we used to have about Steve Martin and Robin Williams, so it's not as good as it would be.
Are you going
to
say how bad he sucks in the Pink Panther?
No, I'm just going to give you his quote, very, very briefly, his quote about
Steve Martin's quote?
Martin said he wasn't worried about filling Peter Sellers' big shoes. I have big feet, he quipped. But then this is what he says that got to me, and I know you'd love this one.
Okay.
This is a quote from Steve Martin. It's kind of a dream come true because we've always loved these films, Martin said. We've loved this character, and now we have the opportunity to not remake the movie, but to play these characters. It's like playing Hamlet. That's
I just thought you. I thought you would appreciate.
You know what that is?
No, I don't appreciate that because I've given up.
I know.
I told you.
Oh, what an ass!
I told you long before Cheaper by the Dozen.
Right.
That the Steve Martin funny genius train had pulled out long ago. That train had long left.
Well, it's not even the fact that maybe he's not funny like he used to be, but the fact is that these quotes and some of the, it's that inside the comedy mind thing that he does
thinking,
now. The serious business of comedy that you know that he started doing when he started getting old.
Mike, he has BCD.
BCD?
Billy Crystal Dystrophy.
Yes.
Crystal Dystrophy.
BCD, a CD. Or CD for short.
You're goofing around.
I mean, right. The commercials. Now, I'm not a big aficionado of the original Pink Panther movies.
Right, I am. I loved them.
But I've seen them, and they're
right.
funny.
Right.
The commercials that I've seen with Steve Martin look so bad.
Horrible.
And so unfunny.
I think we all agree that it's going to be a horrible embarrassment, but they've already pushed back the release date twice.
Right.
Because I think they keep trying to fix it.
Mm. Well, I saw one trailer where they use that fast motion technique.
Yes, I've seen that.
As soon as they do that, it gets a little scary.
Also, watch out. I think it's on the High Def channel where there's an interview with Steve Martin being interviewed about the movie in front of the Eiffel Tower
with his
legs crossed.
Let me just stop for a moment. Because, okay, now, again, step the frig away. Okay? And it's not because you're taking Mike's side. So please don't think that. Some days, you got to learn to live where you used to live.
All right.
Which is back here.
You know.
Here's the thing. You get me all goddamn riled up again on this topic.
Of what, Steve?
He did, not you.
About what? About what he's getting riled up
about? Because he's got to come in with this, oh, if you watch the High Def, you never see the guy with the big feet. And then I feel that I must say, well, I'm sure that Robin Williams has some piece-of-ass movie coming out this summer. And I'm sure that there will be an HBO special that features him talking about his craft as well.
Well, this really wasn't brought up, as far as the Steve Martin, Robin Williams feud that we used to have, as much as it, because we both have agreed that there have been suckfests that have been offered on both counts. But it's just, what I can't stand is when any movie actor has the... And I really... Look, now you could interpret this where maybe he's talking about his team.
Now, Mike,
but it seems to me he's talking about the character when he says we.
Robin Williams, I'm sure, has said...
We.
The same thing.
We.
Robin Williams... I hate arguing this because Steve Martin sucks, but Robin Williams has had this whole I'm an actor thing as well. He's been through that phase as well.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking about himself in third person.
Well, see, I didn't want to make it a Robin Williams thing at all because it's really just, it's just the quote that I was there. And you would hate that quote if it was coming from Robin Williams or from Steve Martin because it's just, what it is the serious business of comedy, which we both hate. It's the guys that really, funny guys that got lucky and got an opportunity to make funny movies that say, well, what I find, it's like playing Hamlet.
Here's the thing.
Jesus.
We're 10 years. Seriously, we are 10 years away from hearing Adam Sandler described like Billy Madison,
maybe
as it is some like it's some piece of art.
Right.
Someday we'll have Rob Schneider talking about Deuce Bigelow, American Gigolo, or whatever it is.
And it's not necessarily the guys themselves. I think it's the system that these people are interviewed with people blowing smoke, every single day. And they finally just believe it. So many people are saying, you're a genius in that particular role. How did you do it? Well, when I created the character, this is the divine inspiration that we had.
Yeah, but they all do that.
They all do that.
They do.
They all do it. And you're right. Steve Martin sucks in this
movie. I think if there are any examples, even serious actors or comedians, that are exceptions to the rule that maybe low-key it. You know, and you know, the one guy that I think makes a stab at it is George Clooney. I think George Clooney sometimes attempts to poo-poo it, but then he did the whole paparazzi.
Or you can get a guy like, I saw Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ford, if you get a chance to watch him on any other, he's doing all the shows, he's got a POS movie coming out this week. Harrison Ford, the joke used to be we thought he was drunk every time he would be on TV.
Right.
He's just incredibly slow and dull and dim-witted. And it's It's amazing you're watching the guy who is Indiana Jones. And he's saying, what do you think about the new movie? And really, here's the answer. And the energy level.
It was good work.
And it's down in a...
Yeah.
It was good work. I flew my plane to a strip joint.
He is stroking his beard, you know. It was good work.
You know, Thank you, Mr. President.
They just fawn all over him like, oh, it's so great to have Harrison Ford because you never do these interviews. You know, no one ever says, right, you didn't used to do these interviews because you didn't have to do these interviews.
And you
before.
See him come out on the award show. And I think I really have always believed Harrison Ford is very uncomfortable doing those award shows. Mm-hmm. And I think he might knock a few back when he comes out. Well, either that or he's the worst teleprompter reader in the history of mankind.
We had the tape of whatever was the Golden Globes or whatever
really
was.
I really wanted a nominee for
a couple of years ago. I watched a TiVo of Tommy Lee Jones on Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was about as relaxed as Tommy Lee Jones can get.
Right.
But still, it was painful to watch.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Because Tommy Lee Jones, quite obviously, did not give a rat's ass. Doesn't, you know, Letterman says, hey, it's great to have you on the show. Great to be here, Dave. You know, the whole time looking down, you know, saying, how come we've never had you on the show?
Right.
Well, I guess I've never had a movie to promote the way I got to promote this one.
Uh-huh.
You know, so come on, bring something to the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason is that they're all in that thing you were talking about with Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
They're actors. They're somehow above us. They're better than us. And the truth is, what an easy job. Can you imagine them trying to do what we do? Trying to speak.
They couldn't. That's the point.
Trying to speak spontaneously off the top of your head.
They
read stuff that's written down
right,
for them.
Always. I found another one that I like. Another guy that I like. And maybe it might even be based on one interview. He might have been pretentious in another. But Anthony Hopkins is a guy that I think they asked him about you know, all his Academy Awards and all these great roles. And he said something along the lines of, yeah, I memorize the lines and I show up.
There you go.
You know, which is really what it's all about. Even though, you know, it does take more than that to be a great actor. But I hate the guys
not
that
really,
have
Mike.
To tell you that.
Not really. I mean, that's always been my bottom line. You know, I can see the talent in an athlete. I can see the talent in a singer. Even if the singer isn't writing the music him or herself. But an actor, especially a movie actor.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can do a movie, and like, if your line is, oh my God, the robots are coming, you can shoot that one line 50 times.
Easily. They pick the good one.
50 times.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to memorize anything, because someone's standing in front of you with a card, and hey, after 50 times, if you can't remember, well, here come the robots.
I'm thinking of our body of work, when we've done our stellar acting jobs over the years.
Well,
Joe Friday and...
Listen, but we're not actors. But they could not do what we do.
Right.
And just listen, let's end this thing right now. Steve Martin sucks. I give that to you. He sucks. This new movie sucks. He's pretentious. His movie Shop Girl sucks. Yes, that's right. I still bought the book.
Oh, I just hate those kind of quotes from any
Careful.
Actor. I really do.
Careful. Oh, I see.
He's just walking by the
You're
microphone.
You're walking by the microphone.
You know, when I was breaking down my character on Briscoe County Jr.
Yeah.
It might have been Babylon 5 when I was thinking about the motivation for the ambassador's role.
Yeah? Hello, Don Mike.
I'd like to hear it.
Hello.
Hey, Don Mike?
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, that would be what it would be like if Harrison Ford was doing the show.
Right, right.
Really, would have nothing to say to pepper along with someone with less than room temperature.
Yeah, the brooding actor.
Calls in. Yeah, what can we do for you?
It is the brooding actor.
What can we do for you? Okay.
Or not.
You know? Yeah, listen.
No.
Not enough.
It may have been, I believe it was the Primetime Video Zoo that was filled with rich subtext.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, I have another actor who actually is a little humble about his craft.
Who's that?
Surprisingly. Brad Pitt. he's the one who puts down the other actors for getting all political. He says, hey, I just go out there and I act.
No, no, Brad Pitt, God, you're so wrong about that. Brad Pitt is Mr. I'm too cool for school.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Pitt.
Well, he kind of can be, can he? Because he's, you know, he's tapping that, you know, Angelina
Jolie. Yes, but Brad Pitt cannot act his way out of a paper bag. If Brad Pitt is a facelift or a face transplant away from being nobody.
Right.
I mean, the only reason he's in the movies is from the neck up.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
it. Chicks love his face. You put, let me just, I'll tell you, Trey Wingo's face on that body. Okay?
I love that name. That's the best name in Hollywood.
Trey Wingo. Yeah, I mean, that's that jerk from ESPN. God, I really don't think Brad Pitt has any talent at all. I'd say Matt Damon has more talent than Brad Pitt does.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you there.
I'd say Don Cheadle has more talent than Brad Pitt does. If we're talking about our young...
I think Val Kilmer does. Yes. And they kind of have... they came up mm-hmm. at the same time.
True. I definitely do not think Topher Grace does, though.
Who is Topher Grace?
He was on that 70s show.
Right. Oh, that's right.
And he was in that movie with Dennis Quaid, where he was Dennis Quaid's
right.
boss.
Yeah, not funny.
He effing you.
I like Dennis Quaid.
So do I.
I like Dennis. We'll see, we can agree on that one.
Although I have seen Dennis Quaid speak that actor's way.
I'm not even going to blame the actors as much as I'm going to blame the fact that it's the way the system is set up. I mean, really, these people, it's more, don't you think it's more so than athletes? I think they get it more than athletes.
Yeah, yeah.
Athletes are deified in this country, but actors, my God.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you're forgetting about two actors that suck, Mark Addy and Will Ferrell.
Hey. Hey, get out of here.
Now you've
please.
Gone too far.
Please stop it. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Sellers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, you know, one of the biggest, Jim Carrey, will still go on Letterman and, you know.
And do shit. But work.
But let me just give you a flip side. Yes, Jim Carrey will go on Letterman and will prepare.
And we'll perform. I mean, we'll go out there and be a trained monkey.
He'll do a half hour. Right.
We'll do the monkey act, yeah.
Of a good monkey show. Thank you. Of a good monkey show. But at the same time, you could turn on Inside the Actor Studio or something on E! Entertainment, and you will hear Jim Carrey, who's real big into that. Well, you know, I do the stuff, the crazy, funny stuff to keep the fans happy, but really, I'm most proud of the role in The Majestic.
Don't you think going, by simply going on Inside the Actor Studio,
yes.
You have succumbed. You have bought into the hype. It's over.
You'd like to say to Jim Carrey, listen, Dick, here's what's great. You talk with your butt. In the Ace Ventura movies.
Sure.
When you come on Letterman, you kill because you have funny stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
No one's ever going to take you serious as an actor. Be happy with the fact you're a funny guy.
And I think it's more and more, it's every day. We've never been inundated with it more than we are now, with the culture of celebrity that comes out of Hollywood, with these people constantly talking about what they do and giving themselves awards. It seems to be amazing overkill now.
Well, now, gosh, oh, crap. I wanted to call my kid about his college radio show. We'll do that later in the show. We've not called Dick Van Patten yet.
I hope he's doing okay, because I want to give Dick Van Patten a compliment about his dog food.
About his stroke.
You tried it?
We've not taken the CBS programming profile yet.
Right.
We've got pictures on our website that we'd like to talk about today. I got this from some chick magazine. Leah Remini, Hollywood mom. I'm a mother first.
She sure is.
The King of Queens, Leah Remini, doesn't expect to sleep, have sex, or fit into her pre-pregnancy jeans anytime soon. But as long as her baby girl is okay and her husband's okay, pitching in, everything's okay with Leah.
Oh, I'm so happy for her.
It's an article that kind of speaks to what we were just talking about with celebrities believing that their poop doesn't stink.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the best part of this whole thing is that Angelo Pagan, her husband, is never referred to by name. It does say that he owns... Doesn't even call it a diner. He doesn't even say it's a restaurant. Says he owns a diner.
Mm-hmm.
Never mentions the name of...
Such an insult to Vivian's. It's more than that.
A diner?
Come on.
It's an experience.
Man, what are they talking about?
Because she just drops names. It's Courtney Cox. It's Kate Hudson. Mm. It's size 4. It's I'm up now. Hold on.
Vivian's a diner?
Let me see.
Yeah, and Emeril Lagasse's a fry cook. Right.
She sleeps 4 hours, then daddy wakes up in the middle of the night. I knew he'd be a great daddy. I've seen him with his other kids. But if I didn't love Angelo before I had my baby, I definitely love him now. I have a man who comes home from work at the diner at 4 a.m. after opening the diner at 6 a.m. and his daughter is literally put into his arms, dot, dot, dot. And he's just gotten back from the diner. She's just said...
So she calls it the diner.
Yeah, and she just said that he works at a diner 3 times in one sentence.
Well, do you know what that between the lines? Isn't she kind of just reminding him that he works at the diner?
Yes, of course. Hello, Don and Mike show.
You know, it's great work if you can get it, though. Because you can screw up and be as retarded as all that. Then all of your work goes into a best of or a bloopers reel, and you can even make more money off of it.
It is the greatest, it's one of the greatest jobs in the world.
You'll be an actor? Right, sure.
Especially the part you mentioned before. The best part about it is, is the screw-up factor, where you can get up there and...
Do it over again.
Mm-hmm. May I Mambo dog face to the banana patch? He's like, cut, take 58.
Hello, Donna, Mike show.
Hi, babies.
Hi there. Hi, honey.
I just, I don't mean to take you back, but I was just curious about how you felt about Tom Hanks. Because he started as that, shtick actor, the shtick comedian.
Tom Hanks is probably one of our number one perpetrators of this crime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of believing that it's a craft.
A pioneer.
Of believing that when he played a retarded guy, which, hello, is how tough is that to do, he would actually talk about how he had to get into character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how would you get into character? Really? Eat boogers?
Thank you. Well, it takes so much to act with a volleyball.
It what?
It takes so much to act with a volleyball,
Exactly. Thank you.
I thought he was brilliant in Castaway. I don't know what she's talking about.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Wilson!
Hello.
Wilson!
Hello. This is the Don and Mike show, the show that shoots later and asks questions
after that.
First, or what? Hello?
And the correct line would be the show that shoots first and asks questions later.
Sorry, we're out of time.
When we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.